Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender, and there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. The ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
And yes, indeed, we are soldiers in the fight in the to defunding Obamacare and the continuing battle. So thank you once again for coming to Bard's Logic Political Talk, part of the growing conservative conversation and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And you can find the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com. And if you do join the Patriot Journalist Twitter team, then also just give a shout-out for Bard's Logic Political Talk so folks can come here and listen to our shows and listen in to all the information that we like to put out there. And tonight we'll have members of the panels coming on, our conservative activist Cindy Todd, as well as our federal grand jury expert and author Kelly Mordecai, and also the founder of Overpasses for Obama's Impeachment, James Neighbor. And now the battle to defund Obamacare has been waged and continue to be waged in the Senate. And the question is, will the Republicans moving forward be strong and stand behind Ted Cruz, conservatives, the grassroots, and the American citizens who imposed the bill? We will list the Republican senators to contact to bring on the pressure moving forward, and also encourage audience members with Democrat senators to contact them as well. Now, time is running out, folks, so action is needed. Tell your politicians we will not support those who will put the American people's livelihood at stake in the name of electoral calculations. And I do see some folks on the line, so I will open up the mics. Thank you very much for calling in to the show, Cindy. We also have 803, you calling in as well. Thank you very much. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello. I'm glad
to
be here.
And 803?
Hey, Robert.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Okay, thank you very much for coming in. We're still waiting for Kelly to call in. We're also waiting for James. But until then, we'll go to you, Cindy, first. And then what did you think today, and also reading an article by CNN, about the unanimous vote on the procedural step and moving forward with this? What's your thoughts on that? That even Ted Cruz, after his 21 hours or 22 hours, filibusters, we'll call it, went ahead and voted for it.
Are you talking to me, Robert?
Yes, Cindy.
Hello. Okay, I couldn't tell whether I was on or not.
Yes, you are.
Hello?
And then we'll bring it to 803. I'm going to put this down here. And you, real quick, Cindy, before we get to you, I want to get the name and where you're hailing from, 803.
Robert, this is Ann.
Ann, oh, my gosh, it's been so long since I've seen you. And then I missed your area code. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
You seem to have lost some of your accent a little bit. Usually what I'm used to hearing, maybe because it's on air, it's different. Well, thank you very much, Ann. I'm very happy to see you again, or in this case, hear you again. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and bring it back to you, Cindy, and then I'd like to get your comments as well, Ann. Go ahead, Cindy.
Well, as I told you before, I have been listening to Ted Cruz and his wonderful filibuster all day yesterday and part of today. And I've written notes, but boy, he's not getting much support. I don't know that we're gonna win this battle. I know he sounds very optimistic. He thinks, you know, it's doable, and he thinks it's gonna come. But then you hear McCain and McConnell, and those guys are just absolutely. I don't know where they're at. I don't know where their heads are at.
I can tell you where their heads are at, but that's not appropriate for Barnes Logic.
I was going to say, if Tex and Rex were on, they would tell you where his head's at. But anyway, I don't know what to do about it. But I got some things to say. First of all, thank the Lord for somebody like Ted Cruz coming along and doing what he did, because if it wasn't for him, we would have absolutely no help whatsoever. So
what about
really,
Rand Paul? Do you think Rand Paul, if it wasn't Ted Cruz, do you think Rand Paul would have taken up the mantle?
I think Rand Paul would have done it, but I don't think he would have been quite as eloquent. I just am so impressed with how Ted Cruz puts words together. He's someone who has the gift of teaching. He can teach you the principles and what's going on better than anybody else I've seen, and make it totally understandable for anybody. And I do believe that Rand Paul would have done the filibuster, but I think since he had just done two filibusters within, I guess, the last year, he probably thought, well, it's time to give someone else a chance, but or you get somebody else on the hot seat, you know.
Well,
but anyway,
certainly. Well, I see both of them running for 2016. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you know what I got to thinking? Cruz's parents weren't natural-born citizens. I mean, he's not a natural-born citizen in the...
That's true, and there is definitely some debate and discussion on that, you know, which, you know, that'll be hashed out if he does look to run. I know there's a lot of talk about Rand Paul, you know, running, but, I mean, we've got other things to do before then. Now, definitely think about, you know, 2016 as I am. You know, I mean, I'd love to see Newt Gingrich run again, which Ann worked really hard, you know, trying to get him elected. And we'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah,
and then also, well, yeah, I want to agree with Trog here from Coalition of Freedom. And folks, check out the Coalition of Freedom on Facebook. If you are a Facebook user, just go to there and go to the search engine, put in Coalition of Freedom, and check it out. We've got a lot of good areas or posts of a lot of different topics and issues on there. But bring it back to what Trog said here in the chat, is that, you know, all those folks who, you know, moving forward, and we find out who exactly are the ones who are not going to assist Ted Cruz in voting to get Obamacare defunded, you know, there's an election coming up, and all those who are running, if there's someone running against them, then I would suggest getting rid of them through any kind of primaries or what have you, or maybe even an alternative candidate to get them out and get real conservatives in there.
Well, one can only hope. That's what our goal will have to be. So, Anne, did you watch any of the filibuster?
No, I don't have cable TV. We don't really watch TV in our home anymore.
Well, it was on the internet. C-SPAN had streaming live from the internet. I watched about a couple hours of it. Go ahead.
No, yeah, I thought about that. I just did not watch it. I'm homeschooling my son this year, so my time is very, very limited that I have for a lot of this kind of stuff. But you know, I've read some things online, and one thing that I have up right now is an article from today, actually, saying that Chris Matthews admits, this is the headline, Chris Matthews admits Cruz has 30%, Harry Reid doesn't have 30% behind him. So, I mean, I think that there's more hope than we might be led to believe.
I sure hope so.
And if people would, you know, speak out like they did at the town halls and make it clear, you know, some of these people are coming up on re-election in 2014, and they need to be reminded of that.
Certainly.
You know, and so it's just, you know, I know one of the tweets that was going around or one of the things that someone said was that if the people would rally behind this, that the Senate would you know, would listen. Now, whether or not that is true, it remains to be seen, but whether or not the people are going to rally remains to be seen as well.
It has worked before when the people, you know, in mass numbers do something about it. But this is one of their issues that I believe there's a lot of Democrats willing to go down in flames in their next election rather than not have this passed.
I agree with that. No, I certainly agree. And before we continue onward, I do have our other two panelists on the line, and also someone who's going to, I believe, I forgot the numbers right, it's been a while, who has also been on the show, and we worked together in a lot of the interviews that we did of candidates during the 2012 election. And so I will be bringing the panelists on, and then I'll also bring on who I believe that is as well, and that's Area Code 360. But first, I will bring on our other two panelists, which, of course, here is Kelly, and we also have James Neighbors from Overpasses for Obama's Impeachment. How are you, gentlemen?
Oh, doing great. How are you doing tonight? And everybody else?
Great. A little bit about seeing how the vote went today, but we'll talk about that further. How it's unanimous. I know it was just to a procedural vote, but we need, you know, I find it interesting anyway, and we'll go further with that. So how about you, Kelly?
He's muted.
Okay, Kelly, yeah, he must have muted himself. So when you can chime in, Kelly, go ahead. And since we do have them coming on, I will bring on who I believe is Chris. Is that you on 360?
Arg,
that is Chog. It's awesome to have you back on again, Chris. Chog, synonymous.
Captain Caveman.
The caveman,
you don't have
right?
Captain Caveman startup for
Captain
me.
You don't
caveman.
Have Captain Caveman. Here, I'll do it. Captain Caveman.
Oh yeah, I remember that well. But I don't know if Chris's hair is long. But we'll wait for Kelly, I believe, to be able to chime in. He might have himself on mute to get some things put together. But we'll go to you, James, about what your thoughts on the vote today. And then we'll bring it over to Chris, and then we'll move along. Go ahead, James.
Well, I'd have to say that anybody that voted for that today apparently doesn't value their career very much, and they're voting along ideological lines. Unfortunately, that ideology that they're voting along is patently un-American. The last time we saw an ideology of something like that, it was called the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And when we saw what happened to them, they went bankrupt under the weight of socialism. The fact is that in every example of socialism, the country has gone bankrupt. You look at Europe, very, very socialist continent. You look at, you know, of course, in Russia and the former Soviet Union are in Eastern Europe, went bankrupt. The fact is, it's an unsustainable economic model. It's you know, it's only about one thing, and that's control. And anybody that's going to vote for something like that has no business being in American politics.
Agreed.
Hey, Chris, we'll bring in, and we'll move it back to this article I have here from CNN. Go ahead, Chris.
Sorry, I was going to cough. I watched quite a bit of it. Rex actually stayed up all night and watched the whole thing. I did not stay up all night and watch the whole thing, and it was, and it was great. Cruz was awesome, very articulate, very calm, very spiritually grounded is what I would call it for a fight. You know, for the right kind of fight, and that was the point. Where this goes from here, you know, Rand has talked about it, Cruz has talked about it, a bunch of people have talked about it. You know, it's a tough uphill battle because you have a majority in the Senate, and that's the bottom line. Everybody knows it, and the House set it up well by funding everything, even though they didn't, you know, even though they didn't do a budget battle, so to speak, and defunding Obamacare, they handed it to the Senate, which has been very high profile since the failure of Romney, and you know, and so we've got some people over there that are, you know, have really built a name for themselves and get a lot of press attention time, a lot of social media time. You know, Cruz and Rand and Lee, and you know, and some of the guys that stood up with them, and it was very powerful. And the question is you know, what was the purpose of a filibuster? Because it doesn't really stop anything. They've got all these stupid rules now. But what it does is it brought the conversation to the top of the pile and that in the nation, and that is good in itself. And I was listening and doing some follow up work today, whether it was articles or even Hannity had an interesting, you know, he likes to put together that mixed panel, and he actually had Rand Paul on there, and then Mike Lee and Inhofe were on there also for a little bit. And so the conversation's heated. I believe the Democrats are getting exposed because it doesn't matter how many times people quote the facts about, you know, insurance going up or, you know, people losing their insurance or, you know, the spouse is off of FedEx or whatever the story is. The Democrats just keep playing the same psychological, sociological game they always play in the media. And the more it gets exposed, the more the argument is at the top of the mind of the American people, the more the facts get out. And I'll say one more thing, and then I'll shut up. I said, I don't know, way back when, remember, Robert, when we were doing a bunch of shows together, I said, why doesn't somebody like Heritage or somebody who's got the money build a huge website and list Obamacare out and then break this thing down item by item and show all the pros and cons? You know, I couldn't understand why nobody would do it, except the only thing I can think of is they figured they didn't want to make Romney look bad because they were trying to get him elected because they knew they were going to run him no matter what the people wanted or didn't want in the voting base. And so now we're in a fight, and we're doing like every other time the Republican or the right get in a fight, they're fighting from behind. It's always this case with this party, and it's frustrating to me because it's really awesome to see people fighting. It's awesome to hear all these stories come out. It's awesome to see all these articles about all the devastation, the economics, the businesses laying people off, the, you know, the part-time employees, blah, 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 because you have to overwhelm the message in this country because 99% of the media is leftist, and they're going to cover it up or they're going to lie. Or they're going to attack people, which they're already doing in droves, you know, attacking Cruz or anybody that stood with him. So I think from that standpoint, you know, where is this going to go? You know, Rand has talked about this several times. You know, it's hard to say how it's going to spin back and forth between the Senate, back to the House, what's going to happen coming back. I really believe what these guys are saying, and especially Inhofe, if you listen to his dialogue on this, he goes, he was there during the Hillary Care battle, and it looked like a done deal until enough information saturated the people. The people rose up and defeated Hillary Care because the people in the Congress were afraid they were going to lose, and they put it down. Just like immigration. Nobody talks about it, but immigration is stalled. Thank God. You know, and you know, but it took arguments, it took conversations, it took talk radio, it took blog talk radio, it took us working our asses off because they were spreading lies, you know, and covering up the truth about illegal immigration, the border, everything else, but it got enough information got out there that it finally stalled. And now whether or not it's going to come back or not will be left to be seen. But that's how much energy it takes for our side to win any battle, because you have so many factors against us. Anyway, I'm done. Go ahead.
Thanks. Go ahead, Cindy.
Well,
is that Cindy or Ann who's chiming in?
Well, Ann was trying to chime in. Did you need to say something, Ann?
Go ahead, Ann.
No, I just was saying immigration will be back. You can count on them bringing every issue they want to push back, just like gun control, immigration, anything they want to push, they will bring back as soon as they get the chance. So it's going to be battle after battle after battle.
I mean, when Obama first got in the office, Obamacare was his first and obvious top priority, and it still is, and I agree. I mean, once this is done either way, I think they will move forward and go back to immigration and move it forward. But, you know, you guys all mentioned something about, I wanted to bring up, is that a lot of these folks, you know, are up for re-election in 2014. And if this list I'm looking at is complete, it looks like there's actually more Democrats in the Senate who are up for re-election more so than the Republicans. So I would think that the Republicans on this list that I'm about to read out, so folks, if you're from one of these states and you do have a Democrat senator, these would be the folks to try to get a hold of. And if you need any contact information from them, just email me at bardslogic@gmail.com. And first, we'll have go ahead.
No, before you read it, I think it's really important to be clear about what people need to say when they call. I mean, we need to be very clear with the message that we give to the senators so that they're clear on what we're wanting them to do. Does that make sense? Because there's a lot of talk about, you know, well, we need to defund Obamacare. We need to defund, well, a lot of these people have said, we're for defunding Obamacare, but when you read into the details of what Ted Cruz is wanting for them to vote no on cloture, is that how you say that? So that is what they need to do, is to vote no on that, because the concern is that while all these people say that they're, you know, for defunding Obamacare, just like, you know, our illustrious senator in South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, who is claiming that he's for defunding Obamacare, but he needs to hear that we want him to vote no on cloture, because the concern is that even if this bill, or that if they don't do that and it goes to discussion, that Harry Reid is going to put the funding back in the bill.
Right.
That's right.
So, I don't know. Somebody else can probably explain better what all that means, because I know that people aren't going to understand just the political gibberish the everyday person doesn't understand.
Political gibberish.
Yeah.
And I'll go through these, and then we'll bring it to James, and then you, Chris, and then if you're out there still, Kelly, I see that your line's open, but you want to chime in. I do see someone else wanting to chime in, 352, I believe I know who that is as well, and she's got some great information in a letter for us, too, and it's only about the bottom of the hour, so we definitely have plenty of time here. And for the folks who are listening in, if you'd like to chime in, you can call at 347-945-7428, and if you'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your number dial, or send me a message via the chat room or through Facebook. And so what we've got here is that these are the Democrats. So if folks are in Montana, Mark Baucus, Alaska. This will be someone for, our friend Barbara Haney to talk to. Mark Bengich, Delaware's is Chris Coons, Illinois' Richard Durbin. Minnesota, this guy shouldn't even be there, in my opinion. Al Franken, North Carolina, Kay Hagan, and Al Franken, if I'm not mistaken, he kind of barely won that anyway. Anyway, Tom Harkin from Iowa, South Dakota, Tim Johnson, Louisiana, Mary Landrieu, Michigan's just north here, Carl Levin, interesting, Edward Markey from Massachusetts, Jeff Merkley from Oregon, Arkansas, Mark Prayer, Rhode Island, Jack Reed, West Virginia, John Rockefeller, Hawaii, if anyone's getting listed from Hawaii, Brian Schatz, Gene Shaheen, in New Hampshire, Colorado, is Mark Udall, and also New Mexico, Tom Udall, don't know if there's any relation there, and Mark Warner from Virginia. Now, on the list of Republicans I have here, from Tennessee, Lamar Alexander, Zaxby Chambliss from Georgia, New Jersey's Jeff Chrysa, Mississippi's Thad Cochran, and Susan Collins from Maine. And, of course, you know, a bunch of folks that are up there in Maine, namely Mark Willis, so perhaps we can have some conversations with him to contact Susan and try to put her in line. So we'll bring it back over to you, James, and then over to Chris, and then I will open up another mic that we have here waiting to call in. Go ahead, James.
Well, I would have to say, as far as that list goes, I would go beyond that, but especially concentrate on those. So call everybody in the Senate and just make your statement very simple. Don't give them a chance to respond even, because you want to leave them hanging. And that would be to call your senator and then call those senators that are up for re-election and simply state if you vote for anything on Obama's agenda, especially Obamacare, if you vote in favor of anything on Obama's agenda, especially Obamacare, we the people will make certain you are unemployed by the end of 2014, and then hang up. Don't give whoever answers the phone a chance to respond. Let that person know they're about to be unemployed, because if we have enough people calling in an angry tone like that, every one person that calls in is thousands of people that don't call in. They know that you'll be speaking to your families and your friends and everything else, you know, having to do with that. Because, well, they say, you know, it's impolite to talk about politics, a little political correctness that crept into America somewhere. Nevertheless, it has started to come up again in conversation because it's become increasingly important that we do. And that really, that's quite simply what we have to let them know, is that they will be unemployed. They will be subject to, well, by everything I've read of Obamacare, the more expensive version of it because of their incomes. And let you know, they just need to know very, very clearly that they'll be unemployed and they will no longer be subsidized or exempted from the very bill that they're about to vote for.
And did you see the article about Senators Coburn and Inhofe, possible splits on their vote on Obamacare?
No, I did not.
Yeah, there's an article on the Oklahoman I want to check out. That was, I believe it was just put out today, about 10 o'clock this morning, talking about that. So it says, yeah, Senators Tom Coburn and Jim Inhofe are both strongly opposed to the health care law and will ultimately wind up on the same page in the current struggle in the Senate. But Coburn plans to vote Wednesday, well, you probably already did, to advance a House passed spending bill. Looks like that he's already done that, so this is at 10 o'clock this morning. So maybe something changed. But denies monies to activities related to Obamacare. Inhofe said he will vote against, which interesting, but it looks like since it has been unanimous, he did vote for it, said he will vote against moving the bill past a procedural hurdle. So it looks like he said that he was not going to and then turned around and voted for it moving forward anyway.
Well, that's not surprising to anybody, I don't think, that they flip-flop on stuff like that. Listen, rhinos that are saying they want to support defunding Obamacare, they're just blowing smoke and angling mirrors because they know exactly what they did. The House shoved over that bill with nothing but an amendment on it, okay? And when that gets into the Senate, and they allow an up or down vote on it, what happens is it's a 51%. Okay, that they're going to get at least their 54 votes, and then nobody's going to, as soon as that passes, all the Republicans can say, "Well, I voted against it. Oh well." And then Reed takes that little amendment that was on there that defunds Obamacare, tears it up, throws it in the trash, puts his own amendment on there that funds Obamacare. It's the only one that he's allowing on the floor. Even some Democrats are mad because they want to make it even stronger. They want to make it more towards the single payer system. And so, you know, but Reed is like, well, this is it. That's going to be it. And they know that in the House.
And I believe Ted Cruz touched on. Oh, I'm sorry. I believe Ted Cruz touched on that while he was on the floor of the Senate last night, where, you know, they said, oh, but they voted for defunding Obamacare, you know, numerous times, but he said it's pretty easy to vote for it when you know that, you know, it's not going to pass.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, you know, we remember back in the days before the election, you'll recall an article wherein Bob Corker was interviewed, and he just flat out said that he and McConnell were not even going to think about repealing Obamacare. This was before we had a president yet, before Obama was reelected, and we actually had a chance to get a Republican in there. They were saying to the news person, who is, you know, I guess it was a liberal, and they were saying, look, don't worry about it. We don't have any intentions of repealing Obamacare. And so basically they've told us where they stand, and the only way to do anything about this now is to get rid of those rhinos any way that we can, and put so much pressure out. It's like I said, there's some people that are willing to take a dive just to make sure that this thing gets passed and funded and everything, because once it gets funded, that's it for us. And Ted Cruz had brought up a lot of stuff, and he kept pounding on several things. I watched probably 8 hours in the day. I watched into the night. I even got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and watched it for a while. And if I'd have known Rex was up, I would have emailed him. But anyway, he kept saying, look, if Obamacare was so wonderful, why does Congress want an exemption? Why do they want a big, why does big business want an exemption? Why do the unions want an exemption? Why is it that everybody wants an exemption if it's so wonderful? The goal is definitely a single-payer system. He went over and over and over that Reed said right out of his mouth, that other dude that's a socialist said right out of his mouth, we want single-payer system. This is just a step in that direction. And you know, and they're just totally annihilating anything that comes along to fight it, like the Bitters Amendment that stops congressional exemptions, you know. He's not going to allow anything like that because they're like a pit bull with their mouth around a chihuahua, and they're not letting go. And I don't see, you know, if people don't call, I know that people are calling off the Senate switchboard have been ringing off the hook. I mean, they are just lit up. Okay, so they're getting these calls. The question is,
now let's see if they listen, right?
Yeah, are they listening? You look at all those letters Ted read and all the stuff he said, and what did John McCain have to say about all that? The only thing, the only comment he had to make on a whole wonderful hours and hours and hours worth of speeches was, oh, he compared the World War II whatevers with whatever. He got all upset over one issue. Maybe you guys can work that out better than I can. But I thought that was, he got all insulted by what he said about Hitler forcing stuff, and I don't know. Anyway.
Well, so, it doesn't surprise you that they want to try to hook something up with Hitler with Ted Cruz, and that doesn't surprise me.
No, absolutely not. And you look at all those letters he wrote. And by the way, Ann, you were saying call and say
red, right?
I think that even more important than that is to write. I don't know that we have much time left now, but when these things come
next
up,
Tuesday, October 1st.
Okay, that's time. You know, send it 2-day mail. Put an extra buck in there and send it 2-day mail. Make sure your senators get it, because they really pay more attention to a letter than anything else. A phone call is next. The emails, not so much. Now, Ted Cruz was awesome. He kept bringing up all those Twitters. Remember how he read all those Twitters? I mean, that's wonderful. You know, that's great. And they're so succinct and, you know, meaty right there, you know. So, but the guy I was going to have come on to, I was trying to get a hold of tonight that I told you about, Carl Roberge. He's in the insurance business. He's an executive, and his job is to, his job is to set up these group business accounts. And he told me, he said that this was going to just kill all those little group insurance plans. And sure enough, Ted Cruz read a letter during his filibuster that said that some woman had written and said she was a veterinarian. And she had lost her insurance because New York Life had decided that they were no longer going to underwrite that smaller group insurance company. And so they dropped her. They, you know, the company is basically gone. She has no insurance now.
Well, I talked to somebody today, and they're talking about that happening to them at their company. Go ahead.
Right. They're funneling everything towards the one single-payer system, and the single-payer being, of course, the government. And then guess who will foot the bill for that? You and I.
Exactly. What I'd like to do here is we'll bring it back to you, Chris, and then I'm going to open up 352's mic, and then we'll bring it over to you, Harriet, and then not you, you, Ann, and then bring James back in after we open up her mic. So go ahead, Chris, and then we'll bring in 352.
Okay, sorry, I was muted. What are we talking about? What's the focus right now?
Well, right now, she was talking about two things. One, you know, about the filibuster, Taker's filibuster last night, and secondly, about how, you know, it's going to be affecting group health insurance. We're trying to get somebody on to talk about the group health insurance and how companies are starting to drop those. And they're also, I know there's also some big retail and grocery stores too, you know, businesses too that are also beginning to drop spouse care, where, you know, you can have your spouse on your insurance. Well, they're starting to drop those now.
Oh, yeah. Well, they did a good job last night over the last 20-some hours of profiling all the facts about the impact of Obamacare. And, you know, like I said before, you know, the information's out there. The problem is that mainstream media is not going to report on it, and so we have to be twice as loud and twice as active. You know, we're fighting an uphill battle here. And, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, you were talking about Clothier earlier, you know, they can vote. If they have the majority, they're gonna run that through anyway, which basically shuts down discussion, which is Harry Reid's number one master technique, is shutting down discussion and not allowing amendments, discussions on amendments. That's Harry Reid. He has now been voted the most hated congressman of all of them down there. That's a new Gallup poll, for good reason. He stops things. And you see, we never paid attention to the Senate until after the election. Now it's the Senate, you know, with Rand Paul and Cruz and Lee and all these guys. The Senate's gotten a lot, and actually, oh, I'm sorry, my brain just stopped. Jim, DeMint, sorry. You know, he tried to bring profile to how corrupt the Senate was and how things were passed and how nothing was getting done. And with all this attention on the Senate and, you know, Rand Paul's filibuster and all that kind of stuff, more and more and more people have been able to see that the Senate is what has stopped so many things from being done. You know, while Obama likes to get on there with his, you know, Chris Matthews, throw up his leg, Chris Matthews, and tell the world how the House Republicans are why nothing gets done. And what people are starting to find out is the reason nothing getting done is because the Senate, Harry Reid, will not pick up any bill that comes from the House, whether it's spending bills or, you know, budgets or whatever. I mean, Reid basically stopped everything. And that's what people are finally seeing. I mean, the information's been there for anybody who ever watches the Senate. But you know how Americans are. They don't focus on anything unless mainstream media is focused on it. And then all of a sudden we're focused on it. You know, it's like Obamacare. You'd think we were just debating it, and it's been around for over 4 years because it's in the news. You know, it's like Syria. You know, most people didn't even know where it was on the map. All of a sudden it gets in the news because Obama wants to, you know, launch cruise missiles, and everybody talks about it for 24/7, and they finally get caught up on Syria. Well, I've been doing Syria for, I don't know, over a year. I've been studying and reporting on Syria, but it's not mainstream, so nobody pays attention. You know, we are still, oh, man, it's hard to explain, but we are still driven in this country by what the media says is important to focus on. So we're finally focused on Obamacare, and that's good.
Good point.
You know, well, you know, same thing. I have a group, and I try to, you know, keep topics going. And if the media isn't talking about it, I can talk about it till I'm blue in the face and people don't even pay attention. That's just the nature of people. People don't realize how programmed they are, you know.
Well, so, that's definitely a good point. And that, of course, folks, is the group on Facebook is Coalition of Freedom. And you can find that by going to the search engine there on Facebook, typing it in, and you'll find the group. And this time I'll go ahead and bring 352 in. I believe that's Harriet. Harriet, is that you?
Yes. Hi. Good evening.
Good evening, Harriet. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
How are all my friends this evening?
We are great. Now, I know there was a letter or something that you wanted to read.
Well,
I'm
sorry.
No, but before that, I know there's something else that you sent me that you want to kind of be as a precursor or a segue into your letter. Is that correct?
Well, the thing is, the letter's been going around the network, and many people have seen it, and it is rather lengthy, and I did not intend to discuss that letter online tonight. Getting back to all this information about what's been happening in the last week, in the last day, I've heard this so much that I myself don't want to add any more discussion to this because I don't know what's going to happen. I hear there's voting on Monday. Someone just emailed me that the vote is going to take place on Friday. So I'm so confused, I would rather not comment at this time. However, from another aspect, and if you want me to talk a few minutes about the health issues, or if you want me to wait until you're done with this aspect of the program, you know, please let me know, Robert.
Okay, well, we definitely have plenty of time, and, you know, I think, because I did get a chance to read through most of it, and I think it is important information for people to hear, so I do want to incorporate it into the conversation. At least at some point this evening. But there is plenty of time. It's only 11 here on the Eastern time zone. And so we have at minimum another hour and 15 minutes, and it probably will go into the extended period. So I will keep this to read it later, and we can, if you'd like, discuss that letter. But I know the thing you sent me here on Facebook, I definitely want to share with the audience and our listeners.
Okay. So you would... I have to go back into the network to draw up the letter because I don't have it here at home. I'd have to go back into the network and draw it up, which wouldn't take very long. But the other issues are that people have been talking and people have been wondering, what do I do in the health aspect to protect myself, to take care of myself in view of what may happen with Obamacare down the road? And I just wanted to inform people that to take health care measures to prevent any kind of illness or accidents or anything that may be foreseeable, and take charge of their life. And that's what the issue was that I really wanted to talk about this evening, how to go about that.
No, definitely. We'll certainly do that. And as I said, I would like to use the thing you sent me on Facebook as a, you know, kind of segue into that.
When people hear, and
many may already know or have heard of, you know, the content of it. But when I read, I was like, wow, especially the part
of the letter
reference.
You like. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sure. That we discussed just yesterday. All right. So we'll move on and. We'll
bring
your line
the letter
open,
up.
As we do here, Harriet. What?
I'll bring the letter up, and
okay,
then when
great.
when you're ready for that aspect of the program, then we'll discuss the letter, and I'll continue listening. But I appreciate it very much. I just wanted people to know if they take care of their health, practice preventive care. Take their medications, their diet, their exercise, and all the way down the line, that they could prevent having to have a lot of medical care, because we don't know what the Obamacare health care is going to really entail until it is really, really effective, and so we can take measures to keep ourselves healthy.
Okay, and then with that, I'll go to, and we will go on that toward the later part of the show.
I'm going
to bring in an article, and then I'll open up the mic for you, James. And this article was titled, Palin says release names of the Republicans who encouraged you to trash Cruz. And it says, on Sunday, former Alaskan Governor Sailor Palin called on Fox News Sunday host Chris Wallace to release the names of the, quote, top Republicans that sent Chris Wallace opposition research on Senator Ted Cruz to, they have, quote, hammer Cruz before his appearance on the program to discuss Obamacare. It says here, keep it truly fair and balanced, Peta tweeted, release the GOP names encouraging you to trash Senator Ted Cruz, not more anonymous sources. Says on Sunday, Wallace said that the establishment Republicans are still worked up, that the worked up that Cruz is leading the defund Obamacare fight, that he immediately got unsolicited questions and research on Cruz from top Republicans before Cruz's appearance. An appearance on Washington, D.C.'s Fox 5 to preview his Sunday show, Wallace said, I will tell you that I've never in my time in Washington seen a party so upset with one of its own members. In an exclusive op-ed for Breitbart News on Saturday, Palin urged Cruz to stay strong in the face of the inevitable backlash from fellow Republicans and suggested they compare shiv marks the next time they meet. So we can continue off the article if we'd like, but more so I'd like to hear your reaction, James, and then the rest of the folks here on that.
Well, I think it's kind of entertaining, the fact that, you know, they sent out all these talking points to trash talk Cruz, but yet, you know, the most visible one that's out there on the news is him making some remark about Hitler. Apparently, Senator Cruz must have a pretty good background because, I mean, let's face it, we could pull up all sorts of things about President Obama, Mr. Ayers, to begin with. The fact he never had a job of any real sort, and we could just go on and on and on about that. You could look back in the backgrounds of any, of virtually any of our representatives in Congress and pull up all sorts of dirt, legitimate dirt on them. And the worst that they can pull up is what McCain or what McCain was tossing out there about a comment about Hitler. And I'd have to say, good for you, Ted Cruz, you know, for leading a good life. You know, the fact that they just have to resort to schoolyard slander and demean themselves with the fact that they can't even come up with a professional rebuke against Senator Cruz. You know, I know his presidential aspirations are a little bit dimmed because of his birth in Canada, but that's still undecided. You know, that's still they still haven't decided on that yet. I'd like to touch on what she just said just a minute ago about our health, and that's something that directly relates back to Obamacare. And the fact is that when it implements and people's hours are cut back to 29 hours or less a week, and an increasing number already at record numbers of Americans are on food stamps, the fact is that they'll be buying more and more manufactured food that we all know is full of chemicals that are unhealthy for us. The fact is that the Affordable Health Care Act or the Affordable Care Act will decrease the health of the nation as an overall whole. And I would have to say that that would be a clear and present danger to the entire nation. And the fact that they would even consider voting for something like that that would cost so much and damage the people of, you know, the families of America is unconscionable. We all really need to not just call, and I'm tooting my own horn a little bit here, but we've got to get out on the streets. We've got to, you know, make the 1960s Vietnam War protest look like a Girl Scout camping trip if we want to get this country right. That's just because they aren't going to listen otherwise. Look how long it took them to listen to the Vietnam War protests.
Yep. And Ann, you worked, you know, really hard during the 2012 campaign for Newt Gingrich in the grassroots. And you've seen all these kind of jibes and things about Newt Gingrich. What are your thoughts? And this is outside of a political campaign. So what are your thoughts, you know, on, you know, what the establishment and what these, you know, Republicans are doing against someone in their own party?
I'm glad you asked me that, because that's exactly what I want to talk about.
Go ahead.
So I have another article that I think is really good about this, because it talks about well, you'll see how it's related, but basically it talks about how the IRS scandal it just offers a different perspective, maybe about why that may have been disclosed, as far as like the IRS targeting of conservative activists or voters or whatever, people who are donating to conservative groups. And this is really important, because what this article is saying is that it's suggesting that the motive for the disclosing of that happening, that stuff going on, may actually have been to discourage conservatives from donating money to the conservative groups, which obviously would hurt the conservative cause. So it says that, let's see, I was going to try to find something specific to read, but anyway, I know it says in here somewhere, it talks about, this is from examiner.com, and the title is This the Real Reason They Disclosed the IRS Scandal? So people can just find that and read it for themselves. But if I remember correctly, it does talk about, maybe here it is.
And if you could send me a link later, and I'd appreciate it. Go ahead.
Sure, I will.
Thank you.
Manny identified herself as a Republican Party activist fundraiser and bundler from California. She reported that since the revelation of the IRS scandal, she can't get supporters to write any checks for Republican and conservative causes. Now, back during the election season, for the presidential election season, I was very clear with the GOP when they called me that they were to remove me from their mailing list, their call list, everything. I didn't want anything to do with them. I actually went to my Board of Elections and was going to change my status to independent voter. Then I found out that in South Carolina you don't have to declare yourself, you know, with a party. So that was fine with me. I did not want to be affiliated or associated with either party, not any party, you know, after the way the GOP has proven, you know, themselves capable of, you know, playing political games, basically, instead of listening to people. So I think that this is important because they have started calling me again. And I think that, you know, that they're hurting for money. They're wanting to get, you know, more donors back. I think that this might be, you know, an opportunity for us to be loud with them again and to say, look, you know, if you even want me to be open to being added back to your list, period, you know, the first thing I need to see is that this bill right here does not go to, you know, does not go forward, that the GOP senators vote no to closure, and that's it. And then hang up, just like the guy said, just take control of the conversation, call, say what you need to say, hang up, so they don't even have a chance to respond, and let them know that that we know they're hurting. They're not getting money because of what the IRS has done, and really mm-hmm. they brought it on themselves by just playing games and, you know, not being serious about the people that they're supposed to be representing. So I think this is something that we can use in our favor.
Well, and I agree. I think that's a very good point in bringing him into what James said. And some of those folks who call and bring that up is I have a list here. I'll go through briefly of at least says who are not decided on defunded Obamacare. Some of it might have been changed. And these are different states. We also have that's some of, I repeat, no, sorry, but these are John Barasaro from Wyoming, Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. I mean, that's just amazing how long this list is. I mean, between this one and the other one, Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania, Rob Portman, which surprises the hell out of me, Ohio, or at least, you know, according to what he's been saying lately, but Nevada, Don Heller, and then there's New Hampshire, Kelly Ayotte, and then there's North Dakota, John Hoeven, and let's see, I want to make sure I'm not repeating any. There's also Mississippi, Thad Cochran, Roger Wicker, Kansas, Jerry Moran, Indiana, Dan Coates, Georgia, both, well, I already said the Saxby, but Chambliss, but also John Saxon. So, you know, I think that's a great message to send to them, Ann, so that they get the message. They are hurting, you know, probably for money. I mean, I'm still getting things, you know, a lot from them as well. So I think that's a good leverage point to put forth on them. What do you think? And we'll bring it. Kelly, I see that you're still there and your mic's open. I don't know if you're able to chime in. You there, Kelly?
Yeah, right here. Hold on a second.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been listening. I'm not the best company tonight. I just had a friend kill himself.
Oh my gosh! Oh, I'm so sorry. If you're not up for chiming in, of course, we completely understand and,
I'll
to you again.
I mean, yeah, I tell 5 or 6 people avoid suicide, and I don't want to go into details, but it just rocks my world. I guess the take-home point, I've been listening the whole time here, but I think the take-home point here is call up Dianne Feinstein and Pelosi, you just say, vote vote, I'm sorry, yes or no on culture? I know culture is huge. That's what Ted Cruz is talking about. That's what Cruz was talking about, was culture. Anyway, that's probably the least I can do, and I guess with that, I'm just going to listen.
Okay, Kale. I'll go ahead and mute your mic, and then if you'd like to chime in, which, of course, if you choose not to, we totally understand. Of course, all of our, as I said, our hearts and thoughts go out to you, and, you know, wish you the best on that. And if you'd like, you can call me privately, and we can talk. So on the, if you need to call late after the show, Kelly, that's perfectly fine as well. If I could be any help to you, so just let me know. And so we'll bring it over. And yeah, for all the folks out there, if you could put your thoughts, and for those of you, you know, your prayers for Kelly and his folks. You know, tonight here going through that ordeal, we'd really appreciate here on Bard's Logic. So we'll move on there, and we'll bring it to Cindy, and then we'll bring it to we'll bring it back to Chris. So Cindy, if there's anything you'd like to add in, and then Chris, and then we'll move on. And I think it looks like Cindy's got disconnected, so perhaps you have to call back. So we'll bring it over to you, Chris.
Unmute myself. Okay, what's your focus
you
right
go.
Now?
Well, we're talking what's about how, you know, Cruz is getting pretty much hammered, and they're doing opposition research on him, you know, from,
yeah.
you know, given the Chris Wallace from fellow Republicans.
Well, I think Cruz is, it's really interesting watching Cruz, you know, since he first came on the scene, and watching the attacks on him from the beginning. He's a very balanced, secure man. You know, I don't know how many people have actually studied or researched his background, but the guy was a power player in his legal career. You know, Supreme Court cases, he took on the Bush administration, he won. I mean, the guy is fearless. And one of the things that I respect about both Cruz and Rand Paul is they don't get in the tit for tat. And, you know, watching Cruz be attacked, which is so typical of Democrats and rhinos, both, is to go after the personal stuff, is to, you know, talk about, oh, he said something weird and it didn't come across right. So, you know, that shows him that he has no care. You know, that whole game. And Cruz is very good at just, you know, the duck in water, you know, the water off the duck's back concept. And I have a lot of respect for that because, you know, if you're going to get in there and you're going to make a big splash, you're going to get attacked because most of these people are slime balls. And the left-string media are slime balls. They don't care about the issues. It's all about power. You know, it's like junior high school all over again. And I think he handles it very well. I was absolutely impressed with his demeanor and the way he carried himself, the way he handled, you know, Dickie Durbin. You know, when Durbin was trying to, you know, raise the tackles, trying to get under his skin. You know, I just think it's amazing. And this is, you know, and I said this on the show the other night on Rex, Tex and Rex, was what is amazing to me is we are so hungry for heroes on our side of the fence that, you know, a handful of these guys getting up and doing no more than we voted them in to do get so much attention. That's the amazing part to me, because really Cruz is doing what we hired him to do. Rand Paul's doing what we hired him to do. Mike Lee, Justin Amash. You know, this is what the platform, you know, I love how people call them extremists, when in reality, it's in the damn party platform. I mean, yeah, it's just amazing to me that these are the extremists. You know, I love how people try to label Rand Paul as a, you know, a libertarian. And I'm going, no, he's pretty much just a conservative. You know, I mean, I don't see him that much of a libertarian, you know, as far as you know, that anarchical libertarianism. I think he's just pretty basic conservative. And so there's this demonization process that's going on. And I think that, for me, it's encouraging that we have people who can handle it, because the fight's on. You know, Republicans have done nothing, you know, since the majority. We gave them the majority in 2010. And Boehner and McConnell, on his end, not that he could do anything with Harry Reid in there and the way the Senate's laid out, but if you think about it, you know, Boehner's pretty much rolled over on every issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and they put a boot on the neck, and you and I have talked about this many times on shows, that we have this great wave, and the Tea Party wave, and, you know, all across the board, not just at a national level, but state levels. And then those Tea Party patriots got in there, and then they put a boot on their neck. You know, I think the biggest mistake of the Tea Party is they said, look what we won for you, and now we're ready to play, and we're ready to be part of the team. That was a mistake of the Tea Party. The Tea Party should never have tried to fold itself into the Republican Party, because what they did was they allowed the leaders, the corrupt leadership, to basically put a boot on their neck and hold them back from doing what we voted them for. And I believe that really is what hurt the Tea Party big time. And so now we have these guys standing up and fighting, and they're getting a national hero's welcome. And they should, because they're fighting in a very tough environment. But I don't see them doing anything that, to me, it's like, yeah, that's kind of what I was expecting you to do. That's what you ran on.
Right.
So thank God there's a couple of them that are actually doing what the hell they ran on. And what the gal earlier was talking about was about the funding issue. Yeah, I totally agree. Fund the candidate and tell the RNC to kiss your left foot.
But,
you know, and the you know what I'm saying? It's really that part. The GOP leadership at a national level, and in your state, you have to figure out for yourself, you know, is your state worth your time and money? But at the national level, you know, when they came out, and we've had many discussions about this, when they came out with this stupid autopsy letter, which was a bunch of rhinos and Romney consultants that came up with the autopsy letter, that should have told you right there, you know, that they weren't interested in listening to the base. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I had no respect. And then they rehired Priebus after he lost.
Unbelievable.
Excuse me? You know, so we've all been through all that and had many discussions on it, but really what it did is set the tone. They told us what they thought of us. So, for lack of a better term, screw them. I'm not going to support the RNC. I have no intention of it. I'm going to support candidates who I believe will follow through on the things they claim that they stand for. It's that simple. And until people get that across this country, they're going to keep voting for the R, or they're going to keep
mm-hmm.
voting for the D, and you're going to keep getting frickin' McConnells, and you're going to keep getting Lindsey Lightness Loper Graham, or you're going to keep getting, you know, Jihad Jane, you know, McCain, you know, who likes to go to countries and hang out with terrorists. I mean, come on, folks. You know, we are living what we have voted for, and we voted for what we didn't research. And, of course, you know, not to – make people feel too bad, because in some cases you may only have the R and the D, but we sure as hell in the last 2 or 3 years we've got a lot of these guys who are being primaried right now, and you know, primaried in their own party, and you
mm-hmm.
need to figure it out for your state, and that's something I've always tried to do in my group. You know, that was one of the main focuses out before all the scandals hit, was to focus on 2014 and to get information out to people so you know who in the hell you can vote for. You know, because it's never going to change if this ain't, and I, you know, my mantra has always been oust all Bush era rhinos in 2014 and get rid of the rest of them in 2016. And some of them, like McCain and Flake, who's supposed to be a libertarian who acts like a Democrat, you know, go back and recall these guys. Colorado shows, you know, Colorado jumped up and recalled a couple of their House members, you know, key people. After they push that gun control crap down Colorado's throat. You know, we have the ability to win. The problem is people don't have, I don't know what it is, what's happened to people, but it's almost like they don't want to fight. They'll fight when somebody stands up like Cruz or Rand or Amash or whatever, but then as soon as it's over, they go back to sleep and turn on the damn TV and watch sports, American Idol or Dancing with the Stars or whatever, and they forget there's still a battle going on. Yeah, this is not going to go away. We've got 2014 coming up, and we've got 2016 coming up. And Obama, this is a good fight to be in right now, and it's not over. You know, you need to be on top. You need to stay on top of this thing. You know, all Cruz did was throw the gauntlet down. Really. You know, we got some work to do.
Indeed. And I will bring in another caller, and then we'll speak with him, and then we'll open up the mic to you, James. And this caller is from the blog Gulag Bound. Check that out on the net. And that is Arlen Williams. Thank you very much, Arlen, for calling to the show. How are you?
Hey, Robert. Real good. Can you hear me okay right now?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, good, good. I really appreciate the program. The information is really up to date and compelling. Thought I'd add a little bit to it, prompted by your referring to how the Republican Party tends to practice assassination of character on conservatives, true conservatives. And we all know who supported Gingrich a year ago or 2 years ago. Saw that play out in very underhanded and, very, frankly, very overhanded ways that were very obvious. And I documented and chronicled some of that in Gulag Bound.
I'm going to speak on that.
It just happened that I was kind of chatting back and forth with one of my colleagues a few weeks ago and started to put the pieces together all over again. And I really think that I really need to put up an article about this. I have a couple things to do before I can get it out, but I think I could make a strong case of probable cause that the top-down movers and shakers in the RNC and in the Romney campaign not only sabotaged the chances of numerous Republicans in 2012, but sabotaged Romney's own campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to 2008, too, because, you know, if anybody – I haven't read Sarah Palin's book. I read less books than ever lately. But she has made a very strong case that Nicole Wallace sabotaged the McCain-Palin campaign by sabotaging – Sarah Palin's own reputation with those interviews with was it Charlie Wallace, whatever that guy's name was, or whatever he is now, and with ABC and Katie
Chris Wallace
with CBS, and that was a real setup. And similarly, I was kind of tearing my hair out during the primaries with this. Not only was it character assassination of Newt Gingrich, but the kind of campaign that they did was so over-the-top negative that it was – I've got experience in political campaigns and campaign management. I was trying to tell people I can guarantee a time that that's going to bring down the Republican vote come November. And that's exactly what happened. Romney didn't lose so much because Obama came out with so many votes. He probably didn't lose because of election fraud. He lost because the vote of the Republicans or conservatives coming to vote was just ridiculously low, a lot lower than McCain.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
And what would happen was I, in Wisconsin here, personally, at my house, I got 9 negative robocalls within about a week or two right before the primary, all trying to find out ways to slander and bring down Rick Santorum, because Rick Santorum, by the time the Wisconsin primary came around, was the only one who could take away Romney delegates. And you know what happened in Florida, and that was documented, and we have that in Gulag Bound too, where the negative campaign barrage on Newt Gingrich was just so devastating.
Mm-hmm.
And Republicans just were so up in arms about it for this very reason that you know, the vote was suppressed not only for the primary campaign, but lo and behold, it turned out to be that the Florida turnout was very suppressed for the Republicans in November.
Right, and Rush Limbaugh even, you know, told an untruth, or I'd even be able to say a lie about Newt Gingrich on the day of the Florida primary as well. And, I've still got the clip. It's a real short one. And I think this would
By the way, folks, I have to remind you again that Gingrich debated John Kerry on global warming one point, and they agreed on practically every point. Nobody is innocent. Everybody is guilty of some transgression at somewhere against conservatism, except Santorum. See you tomorrow.
And that wasn't that definitely wasn't the case. And then there was also during the primary, I believe it was New York and the states around there, where there was someone from Rockwell, New York, who actually misled folks by thinking that I'm trying to find a clip that Romney was like the only person that they could vote for. And I'm trying to find the clip there. I know I've got it somewhere. Maybe after a final play it later. But
okay.
Go ahead,
but
you know what? Santorum was nowhere near innocent anyway. He had a straight union vote. I mean, down to the 100%, he voted with unions every single time. So
but
a couple
where of
did
points
come off?
What's that on?
Romney's campaign, it's not just those two states. It happened in Illinois. It happened in state after state where they did so much negative advertising, and they were expert in their advertising. They were expert campaign managers and expert advertisers. And then are we supposed to believe that come general election, they suddenly become incompetent? That's just nuts. And here, just some more points of evidence about it. Look at how they purposefully, it must be purposefully, offended the Ron Paul people, whether it was in Iowa or Maine or during the August convention. That had to be intentional. They had to have set about to totally offend the Ron Paul vote that they needed. And I can cite a few more things about that, but it all adds up to the fact that they didn't do that for any other reason, by any sensible analysis of the fact, except to help Barack Obama and help the globalist progressive complex and their plans for the country.
Carl, I have two words for you. Karl Rove.
Amen.
Well, it goes well beyond that. I mean, you talk about, I'm talking about the people that pay the people that pay the people that pay the Karl Rove's paycheck.
Sure.
I mean, those people are the ones
that
plan these things out.
But he is the one that convinced, you know, in the McCain campaign, you know, don't get negative on Obama, don't bring up these controversial issues, and stifled Sarah Palin. I mean, he's been there for a long, long time.
Well, yeah.
I'm not saying he's the ultimate power guy in the room, but he is definitely the sergeant, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of the field officers, absolutely sure. This comes down the pike. We know how Romney got his money. That was from the central bank complex. That was from Deutsche Bank and from Goldman Sachs and the chain. And those are the same people that funded Barack Obama, for the most part. Maybe not so much Deutsche Bank, because there's this two-party bipolar split in the central bank complex, too. But those people are the ones that select our candidates, and those people are the ones that select who wins in November. There's just nothing.
Or who loses in November?
Right. If you follow the money, you see the real people with the power and the real people making the decisions. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up, and that's the extent of the problem that we're talking about. And yes, it has ramifications right down to the character assassination campaigns for Ted Cruz.
And Cindy, I didn't want to chime in, but I wanted Arlen to be able to finish his point. So if there was something you wanted to add in on that, go ahead. And then we'll bring it to you, Chris, and then James.
Oh, absolutely. I wanted him to finish, too. I just had to slip something in. I didn't really have
sure.
a point. But I did want to mention this, that I wanted to I don't know if Arlen was... Did Arlen ever come on Sammy Sanford's show?
No, ma'am.
Okay, well, there was a bunch of us that would call into Sammy Sanford's show during the primary and then the election cycle. And we, over and over again, we would notice how things were happening in the Republican Party, and they were doing things. They were doing big boners. And we would look and we would talk to each other and say, well, now, if you and I are smart enough to know that is not going to work, and if you and I are smart enough to understand that that's only going to hurt the Republican Party, surely they do too, because they do have, they're smart. They're not stupid. Okay, so now we know they know exactly what they're doing.
Right, they're evil
with
brilliance during the primary.
Right. Well, so what do you do with that when you know they know exactly what they're doing? You know that they're trying to crash the Republican Party for some reason.
Sure.
And I know that sounds like, you know, conspiracy theory and all that, but hey, I really do believe we've got a bunch of trolls in our party that have taken control. They've instituted this top-down. I mean, Morton Blackwell went on and on about how for years they have worked so hard to give the power to the grassroots, and all the rules that they passed in 2008 were supposed to do such a good job to keep the grassroots at the top of the pile, not the bottom of the pile. And then what they do, they completely turned it around, and they started doing stuff totally the opposite, and now they've taken the power away from the grassroots again. And there's absolutely no, you can't explain it. There is no explanation for it, except that they're doing it on purpose.
Sure. Yeah, the old maxim is don't attribute to a conspiracy what you can attribute to incompetence. But they weren't incompetent in the primary. They were just utterly brilliant in their evil scheming. They were so good, frankly, that they let, I'm pretty sure they kind of let Newt Gingrich win the South Carolina primary. If they did to him what they did in Florida, in South Carolina, he wouldn't have won South Carolina either. They prompted him up so that they could do this in Florida, which is the big battleground state in November.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right, right.
Oh yeah,
and they did it in Ohio and Wisconsin.
Right, and then they lifted Santorum up and dropped him. They did that to every single candidate. They lifted somebody up and then they dashed him to the ground. They lifted the next guy up and dashed him to the ground until they finally had, all we had left was Romney.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
but they did it in such a way that they would guarantee that Romney would just about have to lose in November.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what I wanted to bring up.
Incredible.
They were actually a little afraid that they weren't going to lose, and they did intend to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Look at what Romney did by the time that first debate was over. They must have been almost tearing out their hair for fear that Romney would win the election.
That's what I'm thinking.
Unbelievable.
Well, he quit fighting almost immediately. You know, he quit fighting as soon as
he fight with him.
Stole the primary.
You know, and he was probably the worst person to go up against Obama than any of the candidates that were in the primaries. And so we're going to go after that. I'm going to a comment for me. I'm going to bring in James, and then I'm going to proceed to read the letter that Harriet gave me, and then I believe, Harriet, you also have an experience of your own that you're going to share with us.
Yeah.
That's connected to that. So, James, if you want to make any comments on what we're just discussing here, with Arlen and Chris and the rest, then we'll move it over to Harriet. Go ahead, James.
Well, she just touched on something that, I don't know, it kind of struck an interesting note in my brain. I like to, my imagination likes to bounce around all over the place. And you mentioned, you know, we've all talked about, at least at one point or another, how the two parties, with a few exceptions, are becoming more and more alike. I mean, Romney, let's face it, really wasn't fundamentally that much different than Obama. He was a moderate at best, and
progressive, exactly.
And that's where I'm aiming at. And now we have this very, very socialist healthcare system that's about to be thrust upon us, whether we want it or not. And with that train of thought in mind, we have two parties that are becoming identical. And now we have a socialist agenda, the progressive agenda, that's being pushed upon us. Now, what are two most powerful countries that opposed the United States during the Cold War? That would have been China and the Soviet Union. And how many parties did they have? They had one. And one has to wonder if the progressive agenda isn't actually indeed to end the two-party system and create a single-party system to go along with their single-payer system and everything else.
And we're on our way there, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and exactly. We're headed that way to where all of the politicians spout slightly different perspectives of the same agenda. And so how far are we actually away until we're, you know, until we look back and think, wow, that single-payer system sure was nostalgic. It's a shame we have a single-party system now. Because we are headed that way. We're headed towards a very stout socialistic-type system in this country. I mean, look at the third parties. Look how marginalized our third parties are in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And
unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, and you know, what can we do to correct that? You know, I really don't know. You know, but the fact is you know, our last elections were sad at best. It was literally, unfortunately, like so many other elections, you know, state and federal alike, a choice of lesser of two evils. And when or if are we going to get back to a system where you have viable, discernible choices?
Well, we have them. They're fighting right now in the House and Senate, and there's a lot of people primarying, you know, right now coming into 2014. So they're out there. I think that the distractions and the negative, you know, that people are feeling, what they've experienced from McCain forward, even the end of the Bush era, what that gave us. But, you know, that there's some good people out there, and we need to focus on that positive. You know, and don't focus on the party, focus on the people. You know, I think that's a key thing right there. You got to remember, after Nixon, the Republican Party was 18% of the population. 18%. It ain't even that bad now. You know, it took a massive rebuilding of the party. And maybe in this process, you know, the alternate parties are going to grow. You know, I have some thoughts about what they need to do if they're going to grow, you know, besides partisan, you know, negative all the time, but actually, you know, focus on some of the national issues and get involved instead of just pointing fingers all the time. You know, there's some things they need to do if they're going to grow. But, you know, I think it'd be awesome to have, you know, Libertarian Party and Constitution Party really making a play across the board and not just wait for the national election for the presidency and then throw all their eggs in one basket trying to win something that can't be won at that level and really get powerful at their local, you know, their state and congressional seat and win some damn seats and get a name. You know, you can't build a party off of pointing fingers at everybody else. We know we got problems in these parties. I'm not happy with the Republican Party at all, you know, but I sure love Ted Cruz. I sure love Rand Paul. I sure love Justin Amash. You know, it, it's there's good people out there, and you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So that's an important thing. I think, you know, that we have some major issues coming down the pike. The left, I think, is freaking out. And Arlen, you're on top of this stuff because you do a publication. But I think a lot of what you're seeing is Obama's losing ground. He's losing points and polls. The Syrian war just made him look like an idiot. I mean, literally, you know, tried to get his foot involved in something that was none of our business, and the American people and the world stood up, you know, at a 90% rate and said, stay the hell out. You know, gun control, he lost it. Obamacare is getting exposed. I mean, when you have a president that is so protected by the media, and I'm a pretty good researcher, and I did not know that Obama had delayed over 40 times, which is unconstitutional. He's supposed to administer the law and not change it because it's good for him or good for his, you know, political party. And I didn't hear that until recently. And so when you hear things like that, you realize that these people are failing. Their system's failing. They tried to shove socialism is a great idea until you run out of other people's money. Well, we ran out of other people's money, and they're still trying to shove it down our throat. The rest of the world is starting to swing. The pendulum is swinging away from it. You know, they're making reformation across the world, going, oh, my God, this doesn't work. Well, of course, anybody on this show knows it doesn't work. But they doesn't stop them from trying. They just think that, you know, in America we can do it differently and better than the last, you know, Congress mm-hmm. or the last socialist. But we know it's a failing system, and they're still trying to implement it, and we're broke at $10 trillion. I mean, the Fed has a $3.6 trillion balance sheet right now in this country. $3.6 trillion on top of our debt, on top of, you know, all the money that's been printed. I mean, it's insane what these people are willing to do to fulfill this, you know, utopian dream, this insanity, you know. And the problem is the American people are so beat up. I just never thought I would have seen a day where people would be so non-involved and roll over so fast when we're so close to actually winning. I really believe that we're dealing with a lame duck presidency right now. He's going to lose on Obamacare. He's going to lose
on
the next
point about that is these people are never the utopianists. The utopianists, the ideologues, aren't the ones that really gain power. A classic example is Lenin, despite his ideological rhetoric, utopianist Marxist, he would have never made sure that he was succeeded by Joseph Stalin. He wouldn't have brought him into his camp. They're out for power, and the money behind them is out for power.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, Wall Street funded the rise of Hitler. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a lot of history there that people just don't understand because the average person sees good guys, bad guys. They don't see, you know, behind the scenes, the banks, you know, the bankers especially. You know, they don't see that, you know, the bankers fund both sides of the war and make money off both sides of the war while countries go broke and people die. They just don't get that. That's not taught in history. The internet has really opened up that conversation. Guys like Arlen, you know, with Gulag, you know, they really go deep on things and they expose stuff, and they just, it's almost shocking sometimes, you know, like you go, oh my God. And then you do some research and you're like, wow, that makes sense. You know, it goes from a conspiracy theory to a fact after a while, and people are learning. The world is changing because of the internet. That's why they're fighting, like right now, while we're having this conversation about Syria and then this conversation about Obamacare that we should have had 3 years ago. You know, Feinstein's trying to push through legislation right now that limits free speech, you know, with this bill, and it's not even being talked about. If it wasn't for the internet, we wouldn't even know about it.
Right, they just definitely try to inundate us with so many things that there's, you know, only so much you can concentrate on, you know, and just, you know, doing it en masse, you know, the Machiavellian tactic, you know, to just, you know, keep us spread out and spread our resources out of what to concentrate on when there's so many things out there. But I do want to bring a point because back at least during the lifetime, we can go and extend the discussions, especially with the folks here on the line, because in the extended version, anyone on the line can still listen and chime in. For the folks who are listening live, who want to be able to hear what we're talking about with Harriet. I want to bring into that while we have some time. And I think James, you know, touched on this when he's talking about, you know, we're not just having the fight at home, but I think there's a, you know, agenda out there, the one party, one pair system is a part of, and that is to maybe get rid of the people who, you know, they don't believe, and you mentioned this too, Arlen, talking about the utopias where, you know, part of the Obamacare could very well be to get rid of the folks who they believe cannot contribute to the collective whole. And I think this illustrates what I'm talking about here with Harriet. It says, here's a letter that was brought, and then you'll, Harriet, you can chime in with the experience you've got had with
a
doctor. And so here's the letter. I'm going to read this. It's kind of lengthy, but I think it's very important for folks
Thank
to
you.
Hear. You're welcome, Harriet. It says, it starts with urgent about Obamacare. If you or a loved one are about to turn age 75, this is a must read. Obama's bill is far worse than anyone can imagine. If you saw Huckabee last night, you well know that we are about to expect, but this below is unconscionable. Michael Savage reported this last year. Were any of you paying attention? To all of my friends who will sometime be over the age of 75, God willing, here's what you can look forward to with Obamacare. I challenge you to read it. Medicare at age 76, if you are younger, it will apply to your parents and eventually to you. Whether one is political or not, after a review of the AHCA, Obamacare, he or she should get involved. Your future is at great risk. Judge Kidhill, Texas, has spelled it out for us. This is the second judge to have read the Obamacare document and made comments. Your hospital Medicare admittance has just changed under Obamacare. You must be admitted by your primary physician in order for Medicare to pay for it. If you are admitted by an emergency room doctor, it is treated as outpatient care where hospital costs are not covered. This is only the tip of the iceberg for Obamacare. Just wait to see what happens in the year of 2014. Age 76 today, I went to the doctor for my monthly B12 shot that I've been getting for a number of years. The nurse came and got me, got out the needle and filled and ready to go. They looked at the computer and got very quiet, and I asked if I was prepared to, and asked me if I was prepared to pay for it. I said no, that my insurance takes care of it. She said that Medicare had turned it down, and went to talk to my doctor about it. 15 minutes later, she came back and said she was sorry, but she had tried everything that she could, but Medicare is beginning to turn many things away for seniors because of the projected Obamacare coming in. She was brushing away tears and said, someday they will be too old, they will too get old. I am very sorry. Please, for the sake of many good people, stay informed, please. You are not going to like this. At age 76, when you need it most, you are not eligible for cancer treatment. You've got a star by that. I'm going to repeat it. At age 76, when you need it most, you will not be eligible for cancer treatment. See page 272. What Nancy Pelosi didn't want us to know until after the health care bill was passed, remember she said, we have to pass the bill so we could see what's in it. Well, here it is. Obamacare, highlighted by page number, the CARE bill, HB 3200, Judge Cahill is the second official who has outlined these parts of the CARE bill. Says Judge Cahill wrote, page 50, section 152, the bill will provide insurance to all non-U.S. residents, even if they are here illegally. Page 58 and 59. The government will have real-time access to an individual's bank account and will have the authority to make electronic fund transfers from those accounts. page 65, section 164. The plan will be subsidized by the government for all union members, union retirees, and for community organizations such as the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, also known as ACORN. Page 203, line 1415. The tax imposed under the section will not be treated as a tax. And then in parentheses, how could anybody in their right mind come up with that? Page 241 and 253. Doctors will all be paid the same, regardless of speciality, and the government will set all doctors' fees. This is what they do in Sweden, too. Page 272, section 1145. Cancer hospitals will ration care according to the patient's age. Page 317 and 321. The government will impose a prohibition on hospital expansion. However, communities may petition for an exemption. Page 425, lines 4 through 12. The government mandates advanced care planning consultations. Those on Social Security will be required to attend an end-of-life planning seminar every 5 years, and she puts in parentheses, death counseling. And I'm hearing a little bit of an echo. I don't know if anyone has me on speaker, but if they can, their computer on speaker, if they can turn that down or mute it, I appreciate it. Page 429, line 13 through 25. The government will specify which doctors can write an end-of-life order. Had enough? Judge Cahill then goes on to identify. Finally, it is specifically stated that this bill will not apply to members of Congress. No wonder they did not seem to have the need to read it. Does it apply to them? Now, this is outrageous. Honorable David Cahill of Marble Falls, Texas, says, all of the above should give you ammo you need to oppose Obamacare. Please send this information onto all of your email contacts. And then lastly, it says, I say to any here reading this, it is high time we march like the Egyptians. This death bill must be stopped and will be up to millions of Americans to thrust forward into the heart of D.C. and stop these bastards. close the damn place down. Stay there for days till they shred this blanking bill. If you do nothing, it's on you. And thank you very much, folks, for allowing me to read that in its entirety. I think after reading that, I believe it was very important to read all of it. And so I will give the mic up to you, Harriet, and
yes,
tell us
I'm
what
here.
You have for us tonight. Thank you.
All right. I believe that Obamacare is very much in order and very much working. It's the beginning, and it's quiet, but it is working. I go to a wonderful primary care physician as a private patient, and he's a sole practitioner. He takes some Medicare patients, and there was when I had my last visit, there were copies of a letter from the physician. I don't have permission to reveal his name, but that's not important. And so, of course, I picked up a copy of the letter. I came home and I read it, and I said, oh, dear. And this is what the letter said. Dear Medicare patients, due to the recent changes in our health care system, especially with Medicare, we wanted to outline for you the difference between a covered Medicare preventive physical and a non-covered Medicare physical. This already has started. In 2012, preventive medical physical at no charge to the patient is basically a discussion between the doctor and the patient on your current overall health and future risk factors. We can refer you for other testing or health screenings, but it does not include payment to me for my time to physically examine you or have physical contact at all. It does not allow time for me to address any other issues with you, such as illness, questions you may have about symptoms, medication changes, and etc. Under the current guidelines, all we are required to do is come into the room, sit down with you, and go over what we feel are health risks to you based on your current lab results that you may have had prior to your visit and past health history to you and all your family members. This visit is to be performed without the patient ever having to undress. We will not perform a prostate exam for men or a pap and breast exam for women at this visit. We will not listen to your lungs or check your lesions on your body. That is not part of your covered Medicare wellness physical, and it is no way a complete physical exam. However, this physician takes pride in the physical exams we provide to our patients. From conversing with the patient to actually giving a complete exam that involves head-to-toe physical contact with our patient, it is important for us to examine you in order to diagnose medical problems based on symptoms you may present at the visit. So, he will be charging. I will be more than happy to pay the $195 for his service for this exam to be given to me every year once I arrive off my private pay onto Medicare. So this is very, very, very discouraging. Also, researching the Florida has the AARP Medicare Complete for our seniors under the United Healthcare, which is supposed to be a very, very good Advantage plan. And I was just going through the information, and what came across my eye is that if this plan is in order in other states and counties, for example, Georgia, Alabama, whatever, and you're in that area and you need to have medical care, go to the hospital, you have an accident, if your plan is not effective in those counties, you will not be covered. You will be responsible to pay for that medical care. I'm just astonished. So what I'm saying is this not enough for people to melt the phones down in the Senate to vote down Obamacare? Is this not going to trigger something more than what has been happening? I don't know, but it is certainly should make a difference because this is already going on now. The judge wouldn't do the research and write a letter like he did. I would not think of presenting it online. I think it is more important right now that we melt the lines down. I was up until 4 o'clock this morning, and I work, and tweeting Ted Cruz, God love him, Mike Lee, God love him. We have wonderful, wonderful people, conservatives, that I would just love to see in 2016 in our government in one manner or another. So I support Ted Cruz. I just want to say that I did write here that I was going to make a comment about the GOP, something positive, that if you belong to the GOP or you go to the meetings, it's where the rhinos will be and can be identified. And that's where they could be eliminated or thrown out and identified prior to having them run for election and then find out after the election, say, he's a rhino, she's a rhino, and we voted for her, where within the party there is a greater opportunity to identify who they are and get them out before they run for election. And that's just a suggestion from me. Now, if anybody ever wants to go into my Facebook page, leave me a message. They want to know more about how they can take care of their health. I will be very happy to converse with them. in a general way, nothing specific. I am a nurse, but I don't diagnose. But what I can do is I can talk about health prevention, because that way, if your health is good, you won't have the need for utilizing Obamacare as much. If anybody has any questions or if there's any discussion, and I'm able to converse with you, please let me know. Thank you for listening.
And thank you very much, Harriet. And with that, I do see we have about 11 minutes of the live portion of the show. So I do see us going into the extended version, as we do on many occasions, and that's great. But if those who want to listen to the live version, call in at 347-945-7428. And just hit 1 on your number dial if you would like to chime in. But if you just want to listen to the live version, that is fine. But if you cannot, then this show will be archived, which will be available immediately after the show ends for future listening. And please share the link for other folks to hear what has been discussed tonight. And there's various ways to share it. Of course, people can just share the link. You can also download it. And you can even download to iPhones, smartphones, and even to CDs for people can listen to it in their cars later. And we do have someone from Skype on. And what I generally tell the people who are unidentified from Skype is that we do keep mics open. However, we must show respect for our listeners, and if at any time I feel that that is not being done, then unfortunately I'll have to end the call. So with that, I do have the Skype on here, and I will open up your mic if you can tell us your name and where you're
all
from,
right.
And thank you very much for calling in.
Sure. Has anybody brought up the possibility that all of this is just smoke and mirrors, a dog and pony show?
Real quick, sir, and your name and where are you from?
Joe.
Joe from?
Right, Montana.
Montana. Okay, Joe from Montana.
Okay. So has anybody brought that up?
That it's all, you seem to have
a
idea
of
that.
I said almost exactly that.
Well, good, because that's my opinion. These people, they've been around for a while, and the people that I'm talking about are the congressmen. The debt has been raised over 100 times in the past. There, and this is just a new smoke and mirrors, lots of crap. This is nothing more than just trying to make people believe that the GOP is supposedly towing their party line, where, in my opinion, both the GOP and the Democrats are nothing more than just different wings of the same vulture.
Mm-hmm.
They could have defunded this along, not even defunded, they could have not even had this even arise in the first place years ago if responsible politicians knew what they were doing, both the Dems and the Republicans or anybody else who's of a different party. So that's just my opinion.
I like that. Each are one wing of the same vulture.
Yeah,
I like that.
Two different wings of the same vulture. They're just left side, right side, same vulture. Yeah,
I really like that. Thanks, Joe.
Sure.
We'll definitely keep your mic open here, Joe. So we'll do this kind of a round table here. First, we'll bring it, Cindy. We'll bring it to James, if you'd like to comment on that. And then we'll bring it over to you, Chris, and then to Arlen. Go ahead, James.
Following reference. Oh, is it my turn or is it somebody else?
Yeah, go ahead, James.
Oh, I was just going to refer to the letter that you read as far as the regulations on age go, and I'm not sure if there may be a couple of people here on the show that remember this. I don't remember if it was a movie. I think it was a movie, and then it turned into a television show called Logan's Run, where at a certain age, you were just put to death. And honestly, those regulations, I mean, my own father is coming up on 80 years old, and the notion that he won't be able to receive any sort of health care, needless to say, is quite disconcerting. And I don't know what kind of a twisted mind would have even come up with that. Obviously, people like Senator Feinstein and Pelosi, being two of the more elderly people in our Congress, obviously, I'm quite certain they had something to do with that exemption.
yeah.
You know, that's just anybody that would put anything. I mean, we throw a fit over people wanting to have assisted suicide, and that's a choice that they could make. But yet it's illegal in as far as I know, federal law, it's still illegal everywhere in the United States. And that would be a voluntary taking of your life, and this is the government deciding that your life isn't worth keeping around.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of sick, twisted people.
Well, you just said it. Sick and twisted.
I've said this before, and I'll say it very vehemently right here, is this country has got to take a very strong hard turn to the right just to get back to the center.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that a law like this would even be allowed, but I guess that's what happens when you pass a law without reading it. It's just, it's sickening.
Yeah. I'd like to comment, unless you have other people in queue, host.
Yeah, if you'd like, well, you just came on, Joe. If you'd like to make a comment, and then we'll bring it over to Chris.
I can wait till the other guys are finished. I mean, they're probably your regulars, so I'll wait.
Go ahead, Joe.
All right. I happen to agree with your last call. Sick and twisted is supposed to be the operative word there. If we really truly understand the significance of what these jerk-offs are really doing.
Well, real quickly.
No profanity?
Sorry about that.
No
problem. A family check. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. What can I say?
Scoundrels is good.
You know,
Vultures.
That's too tame. These people are traitors, literally traitors. These people know what they're doing. You cannot have so much stupidity happening so often over so long a period of time to have been done just by stupid people. Okay?
Right.
How many times does the Titanic have to sink in front of us Americans for us to realize sabotage is going on? This isn't just a question of criminal negligence. They don't care. They're in the pockets of the lobbyists. That's my mindset about these people. So everything that I think about them stems from that premise. And everything makes sense when it stems from that premise. Otherwise, you hit yourself in the head and you say, well, geez, why did he or she pass that bill or repeal that? I know why. They don't care. Why is it that Issa is the richest guy in the Senate? He's worth over $100 million. Plus, in the last 4 to 6 years, half of the people in Congress have increased their wealth, their net wealth, by over $1 million. How did that happen when it's supposed to be in Washington?
Yeah.
So
because
that's all I
have to
say for now.
Because of the oligarchy and not the representatives.
Yeah. So I'm finished right now.
Chris?
Well, I have something to say.
Real quick, and then we'll bring Kristen. Go ahead.
I read two books recently, and one of them I'm in the middle of now, The Radicalism of the American Revolution, and I've read The History of Slavery from 16-something or whenever they began bringing slavery over here to the United States and on. And then the other one was The History of Black Education in the South after the Civil War, okay? And what I learned from all of those books together, and these books were written by liberal professors. These were not, right-wing people writing these books. And I'm sure that they were trying to get, sympathy for African Americans because of slavery, and how they always want to bring that up. Well, what I got from it was, I got the plan, I got the strategy, because these people, Carnegie, Rockefeller, all those extremely rich industrialists that were funding education for the black people, they were actually sabotaging any kind of schools, missionary schools, black-run schools, white-run schools, didn't matter who they were. They were sabotaging the education process for the black people, keeping them in industrial education, and they were withholding their funds and their money from anyone who was giving to the blacks a traditional education, which would lead to college and all of that, and they could be a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever they wanted to be. Okay? Well, if you look at what they did to teach the black man in on the plantation, in the field, and if you see what they did even way before the Civil War, which kept slavery going, you can see what they're trying to do to us. Basically, what they're doing is using the same strategy, and they are trying to get us into slavery. That's why they have to, it's a communist slavery. I mean, you look at the people in Russia and China, they are nothing but slaves for the government. They don't call them slaves, but that's exactly what they are. And they just work for the government, and they give them their food and their clothes if they're lucky. And then if they're even luckier, they get some heat in the winter. Okay, and that's where we're headed, because they don't really care. They don't really care, Republican, Democrat, whatever. They don't care who's in control. All they know is they want the middle class to die. They want all the middle class to be pushed down into the lower class and be dependent on government for everything. That way, we're chattel. That's all there is to it. We're nothing but chattel at that point. And if people don't wake up and realize, I talk to Democrats because I got a cousin that is so Democrat. I mean, and he'll just argue you till you're blue in the face, and he doesn't get it. He does not get it. He thinks that this is all going to be good for us and that everyone's going to be on an equal footing. We're going to bring those poor people up to our level, and everything's going to be great if we just spread the wealth around a little bit. That's not what it's intended to do in the long run. That is not what they want. That's the propaganda. But what they want is black, white, Mexican. They don't care what color you are. You will be eventually one of their slaves.
I want to dovetail with Chris when the other people are finished.
Oh, go ahead, honey. I've made the point.
Yeah. Well, we'll have Chris. I want to bring Chris in, and then if you want to answer in, Joe, and then want to bring
okay.
in Arlen.
No, go ahead.
On that
Joe,
too. Go ahead.
All right.
Good.
Saying,
go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I'm going to recommend two books for you, Chris. One is called The Betrayal of America, and the other one is called The Dumbing Down of America. Betrayal of America is written by Diane West. She's, until maybe recently, she was on the book tour. It was about her reading Russian archives, American archives, in which foreign Russian spies and plants were in the FDR administration. So from there we get the liberalism, which is nothing more than socialism. And The Dumbing Down of America by Charlotte Isabey, she was a policymaker, I forget which administration. She was actually at a meeting in which one of the people there admitted that they deliberately wanted to dumb down America, the American testing process, the learning, the educational process in general. She was there. So it's not just blacks, it's the rest of America too, which ever
Absolutely.
Since, yeah. So that battle plan of yours, which you've concluded, is right. And if you want to talk to your Democratic friend, if you know, it's hard to really understand governmental economics unless you do some research into it. But if you just tell them, okay, ask him the question, well, in your perfect socialist type of world, who's going to be in charge? Mm-hmm. Who's going to make the decisions for everybody? Because they're a hierarchical, top-down process, which means they will decide the jobs, the apartments, the locations, the means of assembly, where you can gather, by managers, not by you. Everybody may have a job, but you'll be living in a one-room apartment, and you'll never be able to get any higher than what they want you to. You will lose freedom of choice. So I just wanted to say that to you.
And at this time, I'll bring it over to you, Arlen, and Chris, if you'd like to chime in when you're ready. Go ahead, Arlen.
That was Arlen. Oh, no, that was Joe. That's right. Sorry.
Well, I'd corroborate. Just like I would corroborate everything that was just said, frankly. And in addition to Charlotte Azurbit and Diana West, we have very similar information about by Kent Clisby and by Yuri Bezmenov. Clisby from the CIA and Bezmenov from the KGB. I've just featured their two videos. Clisby's written a book about videos from both of them in gulagbound.com and an article that you can see on the front page called "Can We Even Salvage a Mind Programmed by Progressive PsyOps?" And sure, that's the factor. And, you know, that kind of approach has gone on from Russia, from other quarters as well, from England, from Germany, from generations into America, ever since the mid-1800s when German Jacobins and their little Marxist operations started to migrate to America and set up little farms. Anaheim, California was a communist settlement. So this has been going on for a long time, and it's in finance, it's in entertainment, it's in education, it's in our intelligence services, what do they call it now? The United States Intelligence Community. Sounds like communism, sounds really nice, you know, you expect a bunch of flowers in a nice little village where community people live. Well, kind of like the village maybe with that the British TV show, but that's another village that probably has something to do with it. But
The Prisoner.
It's in the political system, it's in the financial system, it's in everything, and the only solutions, frankly, are what we've just talked about, is airing all of this out and being up in arms about it. And the sovereignty campaign that I'm trying to start out will try to also be a solution where we'll rate candidates, especially the Senate at this point, by how they're doing on the worst threats to American sovereignty and popular sovereignty, including the Small Arms Treaty and Obamacare and anything having to do with the NSA and what they've done recently on the votes with the Second Amendment. And because nobody's frankly doing that. So it's time to rate these candidates. And frankly, a lot of them are just going to get Fs. Some of them will get Ds. Some of them will get Cs. Maybe a few of them will get Bs. I'm not sure who will get an A. Maybe Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. I'm not so sure. But it's going to take a lot, because I really think the end game is worse than what we've been talking about. I think in order to really counteract what we're doing and counteract the Bible-informed, Western civilization-informed society and the families and health that we actually still have in this country and the financial reserves, they're going to have to bring things about that are going to get worse and worse. And we can just hope and pray that God, in the meantime, will allow them to be exposed for what they're doing with a lot of help from people like us.
Well,
yeah, that's about what I wanted to. Well, I guess one more thing about that. That's what Lenin and Stalin and Mao had to do in Russia and China. They had to starve out the private farmers, as well as enslave the industrial workers through co-opting unions, which is what the fascists did as well. So it has to get really tough for this to really happen to the extent that they really want it to happen, and to keep America from getting in the way of their world designs, and to create instead what they want to have stemming from this country, because there's a lot of reserves to exploit, isn't there? Aren't there? So I'm done.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Come back.
Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Come back. Well, I think that when I was listening to Joe and Arlen and Cindy and you know, many of our conversations, and I mean, I'm an avid reader and whatever, but it's really important to understand this. This country, even though you have these manipulative, controlling, godless people who, you know, are trying to create this world of control, okay, people have to support it. When you look at the parties, or especially the Democratic Party, the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, the goal is to make as many dependent voters as possible. It's a really calculated thing. And of course, you know, if anybody in mainstream media or any major politician says anything like that, they get attacked in the mainstream media because it's the truth. But here's the problem, and Joe touched on it, and I grew up with a family of educators. Three of my, you know, my mother and father and my grandmother were all educators, and my mom used to talk about the dumbing down of America, you know, 30-some years ago when I was young. And, you know, it was so obvious to people who understand it, but here's the problem. And my dad, who's a nuclear health physicist, used to tell me when I got frustrated in my walk in life of trying to help people and uplift people and train, educate people and teach on free enterprise and all the different things that I've done in my life, he used to say this because he has that scientific mind. He used to say this all the time. He goes, you got to remember, half the people are below average IQ. And that's a very calloused mindset, but he's a scientist. And it's a fact that a large portion of people want to be dependent, want to be told how to live, how to think, and told that they can't make it, and I'm here to help you because you're not capable. So you're always going to have that in human nature.
Let me ask
you
something. You
know,
I just want to interrupt for a second before I forget. When he told you that, was that recently when he told you, or was that like 30 years ago?
No, he told me that off and on to my whole life.
Oh, okay. All right.
In other words, mm-hmm. It would be the counter to me being frustrated that I couldn't save everybody.
No, I meant about
or
the
help everybody.
Because I can understand that now. 30, 40, 50 years ago, I wouldn't have thought that half of we Americans were, you know, below average in IQ. Okay.
Well, there's always below average. I mean, that's, you know, 50%. If you have 100%, you have 50%. But here's the thing. Yes, they dumbed down America, but it isn't that hard to do. And you know, Hitler and all the rest of them wanted to control the educational system. You know, they'd come in and that any totalitarian government would wipe out the educators and the artists and the upper echelon of society, the thinkers, the poets and the thinkers, and install their programmers. Well, that's what they've done in this country. You know, like I said, my mom and dad both were educators, and I saw it at a very young age, was, you know, exposed to this. And so we've seen this coming for a long time. Everybody knows about 1913 and the progressives and the, you know, FDR era. And they have this lofty idea that they're here to help. It's this touchy-feely thing, and they play on people's emotions. Well, people who are self-reliant, they grow up and control their emotions through their life. You know, you struggle and you change and you grow and you gain new skills and you start at the bottom and you get paid, you know, some crappy wage and you're motivated to move on. Well, there's a lot of people who are not motivated to move on. And that's what the whole, you know, Democratic Party has built its voting base on. And I'm going to take care of you. You're not capable. You know, the whole, you know, the class and the race and all these different
the
dynamics.
The system is against you. Right.
Yeah, it's a plan. And the problem is the Republicans are not good at messaging. They're not good at messaging, you know, the Judeo-Christian principles. You know, they've gotten so scared to speak out, to speak up, to say, you know, to speak the truth. And they're worried about what mainstream media is going to say about them, which is a mistake. I mean, this is true for anybody. It doesn't have to be a Republican, but anybody who is counter to the progressive agenda is going to get attacked.
That's why alternative media is so big, is because people can speak and build, you know, build an audience and reach people. It's not going to happen in the mainstream media. So here we are today in at this given point in time, and I really believe that we're winning. I think that people are frustrated, struggling. We're not quite as bad as the Great Depression because the government's printing money and throwing it out there, and food stamps and welfare and disability and all these, you know, all these stopgap programs that stop people from hitting bottom and holding government accountable. But there's still a large percentage of people in this country that are waking up and that are saying, this isn't going to fish. And that's, and you know, it's either we see the good in this thing that's coming, that's happening now, or we give up. And I personally, I don't have another country to go to, so I'm going to keep fighting, you know, from my perspective. You know, if I was younger, I might be in Belize or something right now, but
right on.
At my age, I can't make the move, and I got a handicapped kid.
Well, I wouldn't go to Belize. My own personal opinion is that's where the money of the Rothschilds is very well guarded. So,
yeah.
So, but maybe you do want to go there, because that'll be one city that'll never be raided. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's one thing I think I want to correct a little bit, because I happen to believe, like Trump, the devil's in the details.
Yeah.
Half the population in the United States may be below average in the IQ department because of immigrants coming over here and the effectiveness of the dumbing down of America today. But
mm-hmm.
You can't just say, well, if you take 100 people, therefore, 50% are going to be low IQ. That's not the way statistics works. For example, if you want to, same thing about like doctors, when people, I don't like doctors, but people use a false claim against doctors saying, well, you know, doctors are crap because 50% of them ended up in the lower half of their class. Well, yeah, but if you take any given average doctor and you put 100 of them together, their scores in the med school that they went to could have been on the average 85 to 90, which meant that the upper half probably averaged 95, the lower half probably averaged 85 to 90. That's not bad. So people have to be careful when they're throwing around numbers, because I do that all the time, you know, because I like to take a look at numbers. And a lot of times what you read in the newspapers, magazine articles, blogs, just is not true. It's just not based on good foundations.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so I just want to make that correction. So, because if you're going to come across somebody else and say that, they will be a little bit harsher than I am about it.
Chris?
Oh.
I don't know if you want
well,
to.
Well, just to
it's
stick up for the perception that America truly has been dumbed down.
What about Common Core? Does anyone want to touch on that?
Because,
I mean, I was doing some homework with my daughter the other day, and I was, you know, surprised. She just started school some weeks ago. And right there in the top of the book, there's teaching some things in math that I've never even seen before, and frankly, I don't know where she'll ever apply it. But... you know, what's your thoughts on Common Core since you're talking about the dumbing down or the education of America?
Well, I haven't examined it too much, but from what I've heard, there's a person who was on Blog Talk, I think it was Blog Talk Radio, or maybe another show, and she was an educator in the school, and she thought at first a Common Core would be good, but then when she got to handle it, and then she realized that there were changes being made in the curriculum that were not exactly beneficial to the student. So I'm going to just say it probably sucks. But I don't know the details about it, so I can't really, you know, say anything about it that's very definitive.
Cindy? If we still have Cindy with us?
You do. I'm here. I was muted. There's a noise on the line.
There's some buzz. There is a
that's
buzz.
That's probably
somewhere.
Me. You should mute me until I put my hand up again.
Okay. Let me see if that is the case here. Let's check.
Well,
unfortunately, that is. But
I'll bring them back in. Go ahead, Cindy.
Well, as far as Common Core is concerned, man, there's people. I wish you'd do a show and let Barbara Haney come on, because Barbara really has been. I mean, she has dived into.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to do a whole show on it at some point,
yeah,
definitely.
She's very knowledgeable on it, and she knows knowledgeable people too. But the one encouraging thing that I have to put out is that our governor, Governor Scott, had we had already invited Common Core in here to Florida. And then the grassroots of Florida got in an uproar, started getting, you know, people educated on Common Core. And, you know, the most egregious part of it is probably not the dumbing down of the curriculum as bad as it is. It's a total intrusion into our private lives. They take all kinds of information and put it all together on you. You have a dossier, your whole family, and they know everything about you, even down to what political party you are registered under. And your health stuff and everything is in there. So it's a very dangerous program. Anyhow, it's encouraging to know that Governor Scott has just recently written a letter to Boehner and one other, I don't know if it was Reed or who, but he told them that he was out of the program, that Florida is no longer going to be participating in Common Core. So I am very happy to hear about that. It is a major victory. I just hope that... you know, he sticks by that, and that the next governor that comes along, you know, also will follow through with that. We'll see, and you never know what teachers, what liberal teachers out there are just going to take whatever they want to take and throw it in the school anyway. So, and you know how it is now, anyhow. We have all kinds of programs coming into school, how to put on a condom. And all kinds,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Heather has two mommies and all that kind of crap. And it's here anyway. You know, Common Core just multiplied it and then subtracted all the learning that was going on. And you know how they've been doing textbooks lately anyway, taking out our very important history of our founding fathers and the stories of behind them. And, oh, when Ted Cruz started reading the fortunes of what happened to the men who signed that Declaration of Independence, losing their property, losing their lives, losing their families, some of them, it's just so inspiring to make us want to go out there and put forth a little effort. I mean, come on, to write a letter. I mean, these guys gave up everything, and we can't write a dang letter. We can't call the switchboard and call your congressman. We can't stand out on the road with a sign or something. We can't go over to the overpasses and stand there with the overpasses guy. How is that difficult compared to what those men went through?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just so inspiring for Ted to read that, and that is out of our textbooks. That is no longer in our textbooks. All of that, you won't find anything about those men. It's politically incorrect now to think of our founding fathers as wealthy men who lost everything and gladly lost everything, knew before they even got into it, before they signed that thing, they knew they were going to be losing it. And old John Hancock with his big old letters, I'm going to make sure the king can read my letter, make sure he can read my signature. And that guy was rich, you know, and yet he ended up, most of them ended up destitute, died with nothing.
So, well,
and that's not in there in the textbook. And Common Core is not the start of that, but they will be the culmination of it. And there will be everything that everything that we are proud of in the United States will no longer be in there. Even my, I told him my daughter's in the master's program in museum mm-hmm. study. She wants to be a curator for a museum. Well, almost every book they're having her read in this master's program, which is one a week, by the way, all these books are aggrandizing all the bad things that happen in our country. And there's like almost nothing. The book I'm reading now, I have hopes for, The Radicalism of the American Revolution. I haven't gotten into it far enough to know, you know, what that's going to be, but most of it is all about the bad things that we've done.
Yeah, they definitely look to emphasize that. And I want to chime in real quick and say thank you very much to, for Arlen Williams from Gulag Bound, and that's www.gulagbound.com. And also we put in the chats, and I've also have it on the Bard's Logic book page here on Facebook, and people are welcome to go to the page and like it, but I also have his sovereignty campaign link on there as well. And that is at http, and that's SOVCAM.org, and that's for the sovereignty campaign. But he did have to go. He wanted to say thank you, everyone. It was a very good program, but he had some things he had to do, so he wanted me to say his goodbyes to everyone. So thank you very much, Arlen. But I do want to...
I also have to say goodnight, it's a shame Arlen had to get off because I really wanted to thank him for coming on. And Joe, the call that came in, I don't know if Ann has stayed on, but...
No, Ann and Joe had to go, and I thank them also for coming on tonight.
And then Chris, of course, you know, he's just always so important to every conversation. So knowledgeable, and we just really need more of this, and it's like you said, I wish we could have it every night, but I couldn't even be here every night, so it doesn't really, you know, but we just got to get the word out, and thank mm-hmm. you, Robert, for doing what you do. Thank you, Chris, and Harriet, and Ann, and Joe, and Arlen, everybody, James, oh yeah, James, wow. What a program he's putting together. What a strategy he has. I hope it works. I hope it works. Anyway, so I'll have to get off too.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Cindy. We look forward to hearing you again next week. And, yeah, definitely, hopefully in the future I'll be extending the amount of nights for the program. We'll just have to see how things go. But eventually I'll get there. I believe, James, we still have you on the line as well as Chris.
Go ahead, James.
We'll, go ahead.
Go ahead, James. Here.
Great. And then which one? You guys are both. We'll go over to you, James, open up the mic to you, and then we'll go to Chris. Go ahead, James.
Well, something that he had touched on. A couple of people have touched on is because people have got to get active in what's going on in their lives. You know, the fact is a lot of people say, well, I don't like politics. The thing is that politics really, it likes everybody. Whether you want to have anything to do with it, it's kind of like facing down a ravenous bear. You might not want to get eaten, but that bear will eat you if you don't do something. And,
right.
You know, there's not much of a choice. You may not want to be involved with that, but you're going to be involved in that
mm-hmm.
situation. And it's just simply up to you to determine what that outcome is. Did you just lay down and be devoured? Or did you at least put up a fight, even if you lost? You know, even if you lost, did you put up a fight? And that's really the choice that we're faced with. Right now, are we going to just lay down and be devoured as a nation, or are we going to put up a fight? And people can say, well, you know, the whole, I get so frustrated with the defeatist attitude. I mean, I understand that every person, you know, I mean, every person in their life has come across a point where they're just like, I just can't do anything. And you do, you just lay down. You're like, oh, I just can't, I can't take it anymore. And you just quit. There's not a person alive that hasn't had a situation where they just went, oh, it's just not worth it. But every moment of your life, every moment of your, well, we just can't do anything. I'm just going to lay here and just give up. And you know, and then the, and then there's the other side of the coin where there, you've got people that are active and they're out there doing something, but they're doing it on things that aren't even fact. It's just what they were told. And, I mean, I've got to say, this the liberals, the progressives in this country are, the only good thing that I can say about them is, wow, those people are active in their agenda. I mean, mm-hmm. It's amazing. They get out and vote, and they get out and they speak out. But the bad thing is when they vote, they don't know what they're voting for. They don't, when they speak, they don't know what they're talking about. And, you know, you try to explain something as simple as, you know, Obamacare is going to cost more. And they're like, well, no, it's not. That's because the government says it's not. Well, okay, right. Let me explain some basic math to you. And it boils down to, you know, business is a very good, you know, a good analogy, to, you know, but you still have to really, and not to sound cruel to them, but you have to dumb it down even farther. But let's say you want to buy, oh, let's say a package of hot dogs. Everybody eats hot, well, you know, maybe not anymore after finding out what's in them. But, you know, everybody has eaten hot dogs. You go to buy a package of hot dogs, the more things that come in between that hot dog factory and you getting that hot dog is going to raise the price. And so the more steps you put between your health care, you know, between you and the doctor, is going to raise the price. The more steps you put between the insurance paying that doctor is going to raise the price. There is no way about it. You don't get 1 + 1 and come up with, or, you know, I'm sorry, you know, whatever, 1 + 1 does not equal 3. But if you put another 1 in the middle of that, guess what? You have 3. You're not going to get 1 + 1 + 1 and it equals 2 because it's not possible. And so when you put more obstruction in the middle of it, and in the middle, it will increase the cost. There is simply no two ways about it. And so people that believe that Obamacare is going to somehow magically be less expensive because you put in another middleman, i.e. the government, between the insurance companies that wrote the law, and a lot of people won't believe. That's amazing. You can point out the facts on that. The insurance companies wrote the law, and our politicians... Yeah, exactly. And then our politicians added in things so that they won't be on the euthanasia list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah, exactly. And the fact that you can point out these simple, you know, common sense facts, and they still, okay, 1 + 1 = 2. 1 + 2 = 3. And they still, it's like a deer in the headlights, because they can't believe or won't believe, for whatever reason, that, you know, that their government will lie to them. And we're talking about people that are, you know, I mean, it seemed like wasn't very long ago that type of mindset, the people that they have latched on to that have joined the progressive movement were, you know, well, what you would have called them, you know, at least behavior-wise, were the anarchists of the 80s. And somehow or another, they've sold themselves out to going from being, you know, too far to the right to all the way to the left. And I'm not certain exactly where that paradigm shifted, but it's amazing, it's frightening, and it's fascinating all at once. You know, and I don't know, it's mind-boggling is what it is. You know, the fact that you can't explain simple mathematics and very basic economics to somebody, and then even have the government's own numbers and say, well, this is what they said, and this is what the IRS said, and the IRS is going to be running it. And if anybody in the nation understands crunching numbers, if any institution in this nation understands crunching dollars and cents, it's the IRS. They're very good. That's what they do. They crunch more, you know, they crunch dollars and cents, and they know it. And when they came out and said earlier this year that I believe it was in March, that Obamacare was going to cost the average family $20,000 a year with a $3,000 deductible. And then they come up with new propaganda for it just before they go to vote on it. And everybody's like, oh, it's wonderful. I want Obamacare. So are you people in are you crazy or stupid? Which is it? You know, you're either crazy or you're stupid. And or both. Yeah, or both. And you know, and then you know, the fact that people have been trained to no longer want to achieve on an individual basis is appalling. It's appalling. I mean, that is the fruit of the crop is you work and you know, toward a goal, and you achieve that goal. And there's nothing quite in this life like doing that. And sadly, they have no idea what they're missing out on that, with that mindset of dependency. Well, I'm just going to sit here and talk on my Obama phone and eat my food stamp food, and just going to laze out in my government housing, and I'm just out, whatever. You know, I've never accomplished. You know, and it's just sickening.
People have made a living of it. I mean, the thing that gets me is, you know, I just see how well. I mean, I've seen folks on, you know, disability. I've seen folks on. I mean, I understand some folks need it, but I've also seen folks who, you know, they can work, but yet it's easier, and it's easy to get on certain kind of disabilities, and they really don't live. I mean, they don't live, you know, that great. You know, great, but it's not that bad of an existence to live off that. I mean,
yeah,
you're not
after a few years, after a few years, the effort to get off of it, just like welfare, is too great. So they just roll down and knock and drop their ambition down a level or two,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's welfare, disability, or whatever.
I mean, especially when you go try to get a new job. You've been on welfare for 3 years, and then you go try to get a new job, and your boss wants to go, well, where have you been for 3 years? Well, I've been sitting around doing nothing, you know, watching American Idol and Survivor, you know, and then they're going to look at you, and they're going to go, well, why would I want to hire you? But, you know, you're lazy. And
well, our workforce in this country after the last 4, 5, 6 years is way behind. If you don't stay in the game, you know, in that competitive edge, it's just like athletics. If you don't stay in the game, you lose it. You lose the edge. We are so far beyond just a recovery, you know, in the concept. If tomorrow, if Obamacare mm-hmm. was repealed and they quit and Bernanke quit printing money and let this country correct, let the economics correct itself, which they have not done, so we have another correction coming, folks. I hope you realize that.
Yeah, get ready.
Yeah, no kidding. This one's going to be big. They got a lot of bubbles floating right now. But what happens is, even if everything was kicking and moving and shaking and jiving right now in this country, if Obama wouldn't have screwed everything up, think about it. The American people aren't ready to perform. You know, it's one thing to sit around and bitch and moan that there's no jobs. It's another when all of a sudden it's time to work. And you got to get off your ass, and you got to get out of that mindset and get out there into the marketplace and make it happen. Especially, you know, when you start talking about free enterprise and launching a business and the struggles and the sacrifices you have to make to do that and the ups and downs and wondering if mm-hmm. you're going to pay your bills. You know, I mean, we have such a huge safety net in this country. Come on, we're at $3.6 trillion already this year in expenditures. They are paying people to sit on their asses and think that the government's going to take care of them. I mean, it's bad. It's worse than I've ever seen in my lifetime.
And I've seen that, you know, I've seen that in the industry I'm in, where I'm talking to folks, and they plainly said to me, they're like, well, you know, if this doesn't work out, or, you know, I can't afford to do this, or something doesn't happen, the state will take care of me. I mean, my head's going to explode. I think my head's going to explode when I hear that. Oh, well, you know, if whatever doesn't work out, or if I can't, you know, personally afford to be able to get this, then the government, you know, then the blood agency, government, that said, well, the state will take care of me.
Oh, yeah,
like,
and it will.
Unbelievable.
There's a lot of printed money out there, Robert. $10 trillion is that they've dumped into this system. It's unsustainable. It was unsustainable. The bailout under Bush was stupid. I mean, and that was so long ago and such a small number. That was less than $200 billion, you know. And here we are $10 trillion later, and there's things like, you know, when the information came out, nobody wants to talk about economics in this country or hardly on social media. But when they found out that the Fed dumped $15 trillion into the European banks, you know, that was a blip on the screen. Nobody even followed up on it. You know, I mean, it's like right now, and I've said this before, you know, when you go down to buy milk or gas or fuel, heating, you know, energy for your house or milk or eggs, everything's up 15, 18, 20%. Nobody talks about it.
The
correction hasn't even happened.
It's worse than that. I'll cut in real quick and I'll let you continue. I was reading something here just recently. A bag of potatoes compared to 5 years ago is up 133%.
Wow.
For potatoes. Potatoes. You can grow them in your backyard and they're up 133%. And so, you know, yeah, it's even worse. But anyway, please continue. I'm sorry. You were throwing out those percentages there, and that's like a hobby of mine, percentages and numbers and whatnot. And yeah, it's even worse in some things. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just
Well, actually, it looks like his call accidentally dropped. So it looks like it may be just you and I could probably try to do a I guess I could text him and see if he wanted me to do a certain way we could, I could call him and bring him back on to the show.
Hopefully he didn't get irritated and I.
Not at all. I just it probably dropped. It probably just dropped, and I'm looking to see if he's on Facebook as well. But I don't see him here on Facebook. No, that wouldn't be Chris. Maybe the battery died, or it sounded like he was doing some dishes or something in the background, scraping some plates or something. Multitasking while I was on the show. And I think what might have happened is it just dropped off. He might have actually pushed the button. And one of the best things about the extended version is if you call in and the call drops, then you're unable to call back in unless I call them directly, which I may do. I may take some moments, but we only have about 16 minutes left of lifetime's been over for a little bit, but of the recording time. So, but there may have been some things he might. Oh, I just got a message from him. So I guess it totally shut down. Crap. And I'll send a message real quick, typing. There's some silence there. You might have heard some typing in the background.
Yeah, a little click and a click.
I'm chatting with him while on the show. We did get a response from him. Go ahead.
Well, I said we did learn something about you just now. You're not a hunt and pecker. You're not a hunt and peck typer. Yes.
Oh,
Well, actually, no. Actually, I used to be. I type with two fingers, my two index fingers. It just I've been doing it for so long. I'm actually pretty quick at it.
I don't use
four fingers or all my fingers. I just use two fingers to type and. Okay. No, he
fingers.
Said that's okay. He says it's late. He has some things he's got to do before bedtime, and I do too. Before I call it a night as well, but that's okay. Well, we've got looks like it's just you and myself, James. I really appreciate you coming on and us discussing that. So I guess I'll leave the floor to you. If there's any kind of it's only you and I, so if there's any kind of closing discussion or comments you'd like to make before I go ahead and close things down for the night, go ahead.
Well, I'd like to just throw out there to everybody we have a limited amount of time before the Senate votes on Obamacare, so try something, and it's call. If you have to work, call it before you go to work. You call your representative. Call them during your lunch break and call them a few times after you get home. It doesn't take long. Just simply tell them, if you vote for Obamacare, when you come up for reelection, you will not get my vote. And then hang up. And then, like I said, you could do that at least a half a dozen times in a normal work day. And that's a very minimal amount of effort for somebody to put out. Just pick up the phone. Dial. If you don't know the number, it's very easy. Just Google how to contact your congressman or your senator. Google how to contact your senator. It comes up usually the first one. It only takes a minute to get through, unless of course the phone lines are jammed, and we can always hope for that. But call them and then wait and see what happens. If they don't pay attention to you, you need to get angry, because you can guarantee that you are not the only voter that called. And if they aren't listening to you and they're not listening to them, then they have an agenda that does not have your interest or my interest or anybody else, any other American citizen, except for, the ones that are lining their pockets, in mind. And knowing that, how long can you sit around and continue to go to your job, which is pretty soon, if it's a full-time job, get ready. I hope you like part-time work, because that's what you're about to get regardless of what they're telling you. It's downsizing or cutting of hours is happening all across the country as we speak. It was happening prior to the inception of Obamacare because they thought it would already be fully implemented by now. It's going to be happening in mass numbers here in a very short amount of time. And you might want to know why they would cut your hours from 40 to 29 when you're a very good worker. You may go into work, you may be the star of the game. But the fact is it's cheaper to pay the penalties to not provide you health insurance than it is to pay for your health insurance. And it's just that simple. Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it moral, it's just that simple. A person doesn't go into business to lose money. They go into business to make money. And if you are costing them the bottom line, then guess what? You're going to be the one that suffers for it. And that's just the way it goes. Doesn't make it right, just means that's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't listen to you and everybody else that's been jamming their phone lines, then it's time for you to get out and stand up. There's already a way for you to do it. All you've got to do is go to overpasses.org, and it's not that hard to do. All you have to do is stand out there and hold a sign and be seen. We've had people go out there for days, 3-4 days a week by themselves with signs.
Wow.
And flags. And if you were to go check our Facebook page right now, it's Overpasses for Obama's Impeachment. Our main picture right now is a woman that's been going out now for a couple of months by herself. She lives in a small town. She lives in a small town. It happens to be a very liberal town. She's brave enough to go out there. Yeah, by herself.
I was going to say that. Very brave.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you're afraid, well, I don't know. How long are you going to live your life in fear? You know, when are you going to man up or just find your integrity or whatever phrase you have to use to get yourself motivated? When are you going to find that? When are you going to get your mojo and get out there and do something to benefit yourself? And besides the fact that getting out there and speaking out is amazingly stress relieving, because guess what? You're doing something positive toward your life and toward your children's life and other people's lives. You're doing something. You're waking people up. Hearing all of those horns honking, especially the truckers. And truckers, I mean, granted, we all know they love to blow their horn anyway. You just got to give them the old, you know, the old horn sign, and half the time they'll do it anyway. But you know, the fact that they're doing it without even being asked, and you know, people giving you the thumbs up. And then what's funny about it, the amazing thing about it, is that even the people that flip you off and cuss you out, you just laugh at them. You just laugh at them because you realize you're awake and they're not. And it's just, it's kind of a sad laugh in a way, because you realize just how pathetic they are, because they're not awake, you know. You know, set yourself apart. Set yourself apart. I mean, if the country's going to go down, I couldn't imagine a single person that's awake out there and realizes what's going on wouldn't feel better knowing that, well, the country may have gone down, you know, down the tubes, but it wasn't because I didn't do something. You know, so, you know, set yourself apart. Be that guy. You know, we've all probably seen that picture if you've been on Facebook of the, when Hitler was having some rally, I believe it was at Nuremberg, where everybody got their arm extended out in the Nazi salute, and there's one guy standing there with a very sour look on his face with his arms crossed. And the capture that I've seen on that most of the time is, be that guy. Well, now is the time to be that guy. If you have to be in a crowd by yourself, but you're still that guy, then be that guy. But you'll know you were on the side of the right, and it's a very satisfying feeling knowing you did the right thing, even if you felt like you were alone. Because you're not alone, and that's one thing you'll find out too. Even if you're standing out there on an overpass by yourself, you're not alone. All those drivers that are honking as they drive by underneath you, they're with you. They're with you 100%. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, they can't be there, but they are with you in heart and in soul and in mind. And just America's got to wake up. We've got the best people in the world right here, the most patient and tolerant people right here in these 50 states. And it's time to stop being patient. It's time to stop being tolerant and being of abuse. It's time to get up and do something and fix. You know, fix the place you live. You know, you're not going to let your house burn down or fall down around you if you can do something about it. So do something about it.
Right. And sticking the head in the sand is not going to make anything better. I mean, and you know, I know it takes time. I know it takes a lot of hard work. I know it takes effort. I know it's late where you're at. It's late where I'm at. You don't get as much sleep as you maybe should. But please, folks, don't leave it to other people. And I know the people listening here aren't, but don't do this, because, I mean, they're listening to the shows, they're sharing with other people. Of course, ways to share is, share the link, post it on websites, post it on an email, on Facebook, on Twitter, share the information that way. But then you go out and talk to other people and tell them about what you've heard here tonight and get them to take action, make phone calls, get to the overpasses, bring a sign, join some folks, or as you pointed out, you go it alone if you have to. It's hard work. It can be tiring. But, yeah, please, folks, don't think, well, you know, I see someone else doing it, so I really don't have to do it, because actually we do, because we need so many more folks. We just need a movement en masse in the country, even to the extent to, you know, we've seen in the founding of this country. While even though they may have been a minority, they still made a difference in the country, and that's what we need today. And what we need, I think we need the masses and people getting involved even more so than back even at the revolutionary times, just because the government now has just gained, has so much more power than what, you know, I think we're facing even back then. So it's just so important for people to get involved. And it's not just the government anymore. It's you know, the corporations as well as the people who control the money. So we, you know, we got to stand up to that too. The, you know, the grassroots, and I even dare say, regardless of party affiliation and maybe even ideology. I mean, whether you're a liberal Democrat, I don't think Obamacare is not good for anyone. It's not good for your families. And the only people I think the only people it's good for is people who are going to benefit from it and not have to pay anything. And even then, it's not a benefit, because what it is it's leaving their well-being and they're being dependent on someone else. And that's not good for anybody to not be able to take care of your own, take care of yourself, and to be dependent on someone else. But I do see there's only, unfortunately, 5 minutes left, James, on the show. So I want to thank you for coming on. And, of course, everyone else, you know, who called in tonight, Chris, Arlen, Harriet, Cindy, Ann, Kelly, and my heart goes out. And thoughts go out to Kelly for what he's dealing with. Just if you listen to this, Kelly, just let you know that, you know, I'm with you there, my friend. And if you ever need anything, give me a call. And so I will tell everyone to check out the Bard's Logic Political Talk website by going to bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. Also, check out and like the Facebook page at Facebook. Just go into the search engine and put in Bard's Logic Political Talk. There's also a group. Ask to join, and we can bring you aboard. So thank you very much, everyone. Hate the rushing, but I want to get this the song in that I play every night by Aubrey Ashburn. I think it's just a beautiful song and kind of helps you unwind a little bit after a good show. And so take care, and take care, James. Thank you again, and we will see you all next week. Take care.
And you too.
Thank you.